Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, what do you call it, Kramer?
The billiard room.
No.
The name.
The billiard? Not the billiards. It was...
Come on, Rudy. What? Come on.
We call it the place to be.
The place to be. Yes, it's the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game.
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so.
That's what she said.
Why do I want this?
Yeah.
Because I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is now time for the Place to Be podcast. And now your hosts, Justin Rosero and Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to another great episode of the Place to Be Caught podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero. And with me, as always, the man who, nearly 80 years ago, was surviving the attack on Pearl Harbor. In Hawaii at the time. That was my PIC, Scott Criscolo. Scott, how you doing?
I'm good. I thought you were trying to think of something to go with the Biggie theme, because that's... I was like, wait a minute. That's a good song, but that really... That's more him than me. But and then I forgot, of course, what today is. Good evening, PIC. Welcome, everyone, to episode 87 of the Place to Be podcast. The year... which was 1887 when Art Donovan was in his 20th year with the Colts. But
you were there getting his autograph.
Yes, that's right. Myself and Jordan Duncan, because Art Donovan wrestled Andre in a cage match back in 1887, and he was there. Of course, it is the Cornucopia Fun and Games, the headline show for this week. Hope everyone's enjoying their first week of December, getting your Christmas shopping done. And it, of course, not only is it Pearl Harbor Day, but it is the birthday of the man who Pearl Harbored the world.
Larry Bird?
When he joined it. Yes, the basketball Jesus.
Tino Martinez.
Who else?
Sonny.
Sonny? You share Sonny's birthday? I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Of course, it is my PIC's birthday. Happy birthday, sir.
Thank you, sir. And thank you to all the Nation members that gave me shout-outs today.
Yes. You do share. You share Sonny's birthday. You son of a bitch. Maybe she'll sell you something, since it seems like she needs money if you keep reading all of her
stuff. We always had a special connection.
Okay. So besides the fact, hey, tell him happy birthday. God, I got issues with you anyway. Something we'll read later on. I got a couple of extra news notes. So Vince, you're just zip it. Take a nap. All right. Let's go through the rundown of our awesome headline show. We will, of course, open, as we always do, with our new thoughts on this past week's Raw and SmackDown shows. Of course, the SmackDown spoilers took place in Jacksonville. And, of course, Raw Monday night was in Tampa. At the St. Pete Times Forum. We've got a couple of side questions we're going to discuss. I'd like to thank those who are using the Place to Be Podcast email address. It's placetobepodcast@gmail.com. Again, for those like myself, and I apologize, I know we talk about Twitter a lot, and I have no problems with Twitter. The problem is I can't do it at work, and my phone is a little archaic. So, but there are a lot
about
of companies.
As old as you are, your phone.
Yes, actually, the rotary thing on a cell phone is amazing.
Zach Morris would look at your phone and be like, damn, that's an old phone.
Zach Morris. You were how old?
That's gotta be Kane!
That's gotta be Zach Morris. Anyway, a lot of companies can't, you know, block social media sites for various reasons, mostly technical reasons. But again, if you're at work and you have a question you want us to talk about on the show, use the email address. And we have a couple of those to go over tonight. We have our weekly WWE Network update. We got some substantial news this week about the network, so stay tuned for that. Of course, our news and notes.
I don't do any tricks.
Maybe the network will ask you to, Dennis, and you'll be in prime time, which is technically like a main event. Maybe you'll be on the show that we're going to talk about tonight, but that would be pretty damn funny. Then, of course, our news and notes brought to you by our good friends at WrestleChat.net. We'll fire off our bullet points of things going on around wrestling. Of course, the Place to Be Podcast's grand interactive experiment. That is, of course, the asshole of the week. Curious to see what our PTB Nation
My
says.
Votes really, the Japanese.
Yes, Japanese and the Germans. When the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor, as Bluto said in Animal House. We will talk about some hot stove
stuff.
Bluto
was on Popeye.
No, Bluto was was John Belushi in Animal House. But yes, Bluto was on Popeye. I will gladly trade you Tuesday for a handwritten. Never mind. Anyway,
by the way, speaking of Sinbad, First Kid is on Stars right now.
Tremendous. The 7-hour opening opening credits. We've got some hot stove to talk about. Baseball fired up. Winter meetings. I don't know where the hell. Where are the winter meetings? Phoenix?
Dallas.
Dallas.
No, Austin, one of those areas.
Yeah, one of those areas. The Marlins, who are suddenly turning into the 2003 Yankees or something. I don't know what they're doing. But
yeah, it's cute when they do it, though, right? We don't hear anything about buying championships. It's funny and cute now. When the Yankees Red Sox do it, they're vilified.
Yes, of course. And then we'll talk a little NBA because, of course, my team is already being vilified because we want to buy all the extra guys who don't want to play in their teams anymore. So I hope, PIC, you will stick up for me when the whole Lakers wanting everybody argument comes up because it is pretty much the same thing. Not that it's going to happen, but we'll talk about the new realignment in the NHL, which if you're a Bruin fan, like my PIC and I are, you couldn't ask for anything better because every loser team in the NHL is in the Bruins, is in the Bruins conference. It's tremendous. And finally, of course, we will wrap up with our NFL week 14 picks as we are down to the nitty gritty now. Huge game for the Cowboys this week. And we'll of course talk about the Jets and all the rest of the games. So there is your list of everything tonight on our headline special. So why don't we jump right in? Raw, Monday night, from Tampa, Florida.
P.S., your cunt is in the sink.
Yeah, and as usual, you were on more than you needed to be. But I got to admit, though, here's a few points I want to throw out. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Point number one for me. I really liked what they did with John Cena this week. What do you think?
Yeah, me too. I hope it leads to him actually being more involved in the Zack Ryder Dolph Ziggler feud. It'd actually be kind of cool if they put him in that match instead of the main event and used him in the mid card for a little while. Mm. If that comes of it, I'm cool with it. We'll see where it goes. But yeah, I thought he was fine for the second week in a row. I thought he was well used.
Yeah, because you know what? I think the heel turn is now coming. I think it's almost a foregone conclusion. I'll tell you why. For those that didn't watch, Marty Funkhauser there forced Zack Ryder and John Cena to face each other in a social experiment match.
And by the way, for someone who couldn't sniff a minute of airtime like 6 months ago, he was all over the show, Zack Ryder.
Oh, it was great. It was great. Yes, the Lithuanian lover boy and the president of the Matt Rotella fan club, or the Zack Ryder fan club, Matt Rotella, was eating this up. He was all over the show. I'm getting him one of those wigs, by the way. I'm going to have a picture of him, of Matt Rotella, since he's losing his hair anyway. Might as well buy him some hair. So we can get him one of those Zack Ryder.
He'd also lose the hair you buy him, probably.
Yeah, most likely. Anyway, so it was Zack Ryder versus John Cena in a one-on-one match. Now, the stipulation was if Zack Ryder won, he would finally get his U.S. title shot against Dolph Ziggler. If John Cena won, he would get in the WWE Championship match at TLC. Now, just a reminder, earlier in the night, all the big heels came out and started yapping at each other about who deserves to be number one contender, except Cena. Cena's not a heel, but Dolph Ziggler came out.
Well, he basically is.
Yeah, I guess so.
I thought that was okay. And he was a little blah at first, but when he had the digs about Ziggler and he brought up all his old gimmicks, and then he made fun of Cole as well, I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, I did too, yeah. So everybody got a match, and if they won their match, they'd be in. And they would face CM Punk at TLC. The Miz wrestled first, and he beat Randy Orton by countout because Wade Barrett distracted him, and I'm sure we'll see that match December 18th. So anyway, so Cena fights Zack Ryder. So if Cena wins, he gets the title shot at TLC. If Zack Ryder wins, he gets his future title shot at Dolph Ziggler. Well, Cena won. No surprise there. And I prematurely, after I sent JR a text saying, I'm really pissed off. Why did Cena have to win? Once I sent it to you, I go, well, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Something's going to come of this.
So yeah, I figured something was going to happen.
I jumped the gun a little bit, but then I thought about it and realized something's coming of this. So Zack Ryder's looking at him, and you got that look in his face like, dude, you're a dick.
Yeah.
And Cena looks at him like, but and realistically, what's Cena supposed to say? Yeah, I should have let you win. You know, I mean, realistically, you kind of feel bad for Cena. He got backed into a corner, and I'm thinking, what are they going to do now?
I don't know, man. I don't know. She's just acting real funky.
Well, Zack Ryder would beat you because you would have been awake. So. So Cena decides, all right, hold on, I'll be right back. Runs in the back, they go to commercial, gets him back, and I loved Cena's finally, he doesn't do this very often, but finally he just gets mad. And not like the fake mad, but like legitimately, like when he told Otunga to get out, I thought, I was like, wow, I would have gotten nervous. Like he literally, I would have been great if he like threw him out the door. It would have been even better. But he got in Funkhauser's face and said, all right, enough's enough. The fans love this guy. Enough of your bullshit. Give him his goddamn title shot. Enough's enough now. And Marty said, no. But you want one more chance, I'll give him one more opportunity if you give up your title shot you just won at TLC. And Cena looks at him, and, you know, you'd be torn. But he said, you know what? I'm a 10-time champion. You know, I'll get my shot again. I got opportunities others didn't. Fine. Now, well, we'll continue on with this, and then I'll give my point. So Zack Ryder's already standing in the ring, and who comes out but the World Heavyweight Champion, Mark Henry? Did you call that? I knew it. I knew it was
going to be. Yeah, I figured it would be. Actually, I'm trying to think. There was someone else I thought. Oh, no, I thought it was going to be Nash, maybe.
Yeah, I thought that too, but I was thinking maybe, but then I thought, no, you're not going to get him involved in something like this and have him job. Nah, I didn't think that was going to happen. I thought it was going to be Mark Henry, and then
I didn't know if maybe Triple H was going to come out.
Oh, yeah. I have a feeling he'll come out on the Slammies next week.
No, I don't think he will. I don't think he'll be on until the pay-per-view. I think they're going to save it to try and get some buys.
Yeah, good point. So anyway, so Ryder fights Mark Henry. He wins a match. He gets his title shot. And then when they said no count out, no DQ, then the writing was on the wall then. You knew it was going to happen. Sure enough, Cena comes out, drops Mark Henry with the FU. I'm called the FU. I don't care. And Zack Ryder gets the pin and the victory.
I wasn't very happy with that, actually. I didn't think – I thought Henry's kind of been looking too weak as of late after being looking so strong. And I know Cena interfered and cost him, but I didn't think he needed to get pinned again. They could have had Big Show come out and they could have brawled up the aisle, or Daniel Bryan or something. I don't think he needed to get pinned again.
All right. Well, I think the only reason they did it, number one, Mark Henry's hurt. They're selling injuries. I mean, Daniel Bryan jobbed to Albert
Rio. I just think they either have other guys or different ways they could have done this. I don't think they needed to use him here.
All right. So Cena wins, or Zack Ryder wins, and now Cena, you know, does the good deed. This is where you're going to start to... I think this is when he'll start to get frustrated. Because now I think they're setting it up to where it's like, look, I'm doing things for the people you like. Mm. You cheer this guy. I just gave him what everybody wanted. Why are you still booing me? See, you see what I'm saying? I think that's where you're going to start to...
Yeah.
Now he's going to be like... It's one thing to just be booed for the sake of being booed. It's another thing to try and do things for the guys that they cheer for, and you're still getting booed.
Well, I wonder if they're setting up Ryder to be the guy that Cena turns on eventually, hoping he's over enough that when Cena turns... it'll mean something, like that he builds this guy up almost like Orndorff and Hogan in a way, where he like builds this guy up as his friend. He keeps helping him out, and he gets frustrated that he's not really getting anything out of his end, and then he finally snaps and just beats the shit out of Zack Ryder. It'd be funny if it's when Ryder, I don't think they'll do it at TLC, that'll be too soon, but
no.
If it would be like at a time when Ryder finally, maybe they'll give him a world title shot at some point, Ryder, like he gets big enough, earns a big title match on Raw, and then Cena comes out and costs of the match and turns heel. Like that could be an effective way for them to finally do it.
I love that idea, because I think right now you need to find the right guy to do this.
Well, he could beat up Ryder and Punk, come out during the match and beat the shit out of both of them. And now you're getting probably the two most over guys. The only thing that worried me a little bit was it's like they finally built the show around Ryder, and it seemed to be the one city in America that wasn't really that into him. They actually seemed to be more into Cena than they were into him.
Yeah, the pop wasn't great. Not as good as it should be, but I mean, it wasn't bad. But you know,
as the show went on, they got more into him. But his first appearance when he first came out for that match was like silence.
Well, honestly, I thought Punk's pop was not as great as it usually is either. Maybe
Cena
it's just
seemed to be the. It just seemed like the wrong town to finally do this. You know, it's like.
Yeah, well, that's true too. So anyway, so that was so that happened.
What the hell is this shit? Got chocolate or something off?
Just stay in the corner. Stay in the corner, Jake. Don't worry about it. We'll give you some tea later. It's okay. So that happened. Another point I wanted to bring up. Loved another Dolph Ziggler match. Very well done with Sheamus, even though he lost.
He's definitely bust his ass. He's so good.
Yeah, he is good. Every week has been. And he's now saying it.
Yeah.
I am giving you the best match every week.
Yep. Yeah, he really has a great character right now. And I honestly think if... And we can get this in a minute, but it seems like Chris Jericho's on his way back. And I thought for sure him and Punk would be the go-to match for WrestleMania, but I'm starting to think maybe Jericho should be programmed with Undertaker, and they should do Punk and Ziggler, because I think Ziggler winning the Rumble and going out to face Punk at Mania is the way to go, honestly.
I tell you, I'm feeling – I got a weird theory. It's way far out there. I know how we do our weekly. I got an interesting theory later when we do our new little segment where we talk about our Rumble possibilities. Mm-hmm. I thought of one the other night when I was talking to our friend Dr. G, and I for some reason this theory came into my head about the Rumble. I like Dolph Ziggler. I like that thought, but I got another one a little kind of far out. But
well, the reason I'm starting to think Jericho may go with the Undertaker is the nature of his videos. They seem very much like the Undertaker, so I can see him coming back and saying, I came back for one reason. I'm going to do what no one else has ever done. I'm the greatest in the world. I'm going to beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I can just kind of see that going that direction.
And you know Jericho, pretty much a not a carbon copy, but very much like Shawn, you know you'll get a 4.5-star match out of it. So,
yeah, and he's almost believable enough. I mean, it's a tough sell. I mean, you can't really say, oh, yeah, Jericho's a, you know, as much as like Shawn was an opportunity to beat Taker. But outside of Cena, I think Jericho's up there as far as, yeah, you can maybe see it. Probably not. But like you said, you'll definitely get a good match out of him.
Yeah. Well, I got another theory about, and we've talked about it before. I got another theory about Taker anyway, but about his match. But so.
You want a little coffee or what?
Huh? That's a new one. Who's that? Is that a new one?
Some more? Huh? Try not to get it on the rest of my table here.
I won't do that.
Can you do that? Huh? You gonna get sick?
That's a possibility.
Huh? Huh? Oh my God! He's gonna puke!
That's it.
I love Vince's voice. He is.
Don't get it on my table now.
It's like he's drunk or something.
Oh, man.
So funny. See, that's like one of the few moments where I feel like Vince just acts like one of the guys in that clip. You know, like he never does, but there he does for some reason.
Still very creepy.
It is still creepy. Let's see. What are the points? A couple other points I had, and then obviously I'm sure you have a few. I don't know. I'm digging Nash just in general.
Yep.
Maybe it's just me. I'm usually in the old school department with our shows. I like his look. I love the NWO theme. I'm looking forward to that match. Of course I am. Why wouldn't I be? But I'm nervous.
We'll see. I mean,
I'm nervous about it. But...
Yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to the. There's another news story. I don't know if we have on our thing. Actually, I read it somewhere else today that it looks like Sean Waltman's going to be back in one way or the other. He's filming interviews for one of the shows for the network, and there's rumors that he's going to be a surprise entrant in the Rumble, maybe. And I saw one thing out there today, someone wondering if they're going to maybe have him get involved in this match at TLC.
Hmm. I would have no problem. Getting him back, bringing him back. He'd be good right now. I think if he's employed and you know, gets going with the company, and I think he'll be in good shape. I think it'll be good to see him back. But I just love seeing Nash right now and the NWO music, and it's awesome. The press conference at the end of the night was funny. CM Punk, I've never seen anybody master breaking the fourth wall. He's awesome at it now. He puts all the stuff out of the way and goes, yeah, we do these same stupid, boring crap press conference garbage every time. And let's just sign and beat the crap out of each other. It's like, let's just skip all the BS. I dug that. But for the first time since he's become the interim GM, I actually liked something that Marty Funkhauser did that actually made me laugh out loud.
Yeah, that was funny. That was a funny line.
Made me laugh my ass off.
Yeah, I agree.
So cornball, I loved it. So overall, I really enjoyed Raw this week.
It was good. 2 weeks in a row. It's the first time in a little while that we've had two really high-quality shows. So, No, unfortunately, they definitely.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. We'll get to that later when we do our news and notes, but the ratings are really concerning me, and I don't know why. Now I don't know why. I can understand when the shows suck, but the last 2 weeks of shows have not been bad.
Yeah,
at all.
But how do you know? I mean, you know, you're not going to know if it's going to be good. It's such a crapshoot, and
right.
I think people saw, you know, they were getting some decent ratings with the Punk stuff over the summer, and people kind of saw where that went, and they tuned back out. And it takes a lot to get people to tune back in.
Right. Yeah, that is true. That is true. I think they got to maybe. You know what? And also historically, and this even took during the Attitude Era. Maybe not to this lower level, but. People not stop watching, but get very peripheral between the end of August and the end of the year, you know, holidays and other things going on. And, you know, kids are go to school, things like that. You know,
football does. I know it's always a cop off for them, but I think in reality it plays a role. I know on Monday nights during football season, I'm more likely to flip back and forth, or if it's a team, for whatever reason, either the Jets or another team I'm interested in seeing, or players I'm interested in. You know, now this Monday, I barely flipped to the game because I really didn't care about it. But most Mondays, you know, you're going to be flipping around and doing stuff. So I can see it during this time. Plus, a lot of people's TV shows are back on. So I'm not saying that's a reason for the low rating. I'm saying that's a reason why people may put it more to the periphery and affect things.
Yeah. And obviously, once we get through Christmas and then get to beginnings of 2012 as we head towards the Rumble, obviously, I think, well, the shows need to get better. And then they can pick things up. So, what else did you? Any other?
P.S. Your cunt is in the sink.
All right, I gave you a compliment. You can go away now.
No, I think you caught it all. The Nash stuff was pretty good. I like the final segment. I like Punk. I could do without the gay jokes. We talked about this with Cena, and I want to be fair. As much as I love Punk, I don't think it needs to be really used by anyone, especially from him. Seems like should be a guy who's more tolerant of that stuff. I just think that they're cheap. I just don't find them to be that funny. I just think they're cheap heat. This day and age, you know what I mean?
Right. So no, there's no need for it. I agree.
Other than that, I thought that segment was fine. I liked when they all took the picture in the ring. That was funny. Sheamus and Dolph Ziggler was pretty good, and they continue to Sheamus pretty well as that upper mid card face. And like I said, I think he'd be a good option to feud with Henry over the next month when he's done with Big Show. So we'll see there. Then most of the show was really the Cena Zack Ryder stuff. That was pretty much the majority of the show. So. Overall, yeah, I'd say again it was two strong weeks, and hopefully they'll have a good Slammies episode and go into the pay-per-view on a third strong show.
How many you count this one, which obviously will be the last one of the year? How many 3-hour Raws were there this year? Like 7?
Well, there's the Rock one. Did they do King of the Ring?
No.
No, they didn't end up doing it, right? But they had a couple in the summer, right? Like, they had the draft, right?
The draft, the Rock.
Didn't they? They had another one, like. Kind of after the draft. Oh, the interactive. Didn't they do that again this year?
The interactive one, yeah. They didn't do an old school this year.
No, the Rock one kind of took the place of that.
Yeah, I think they're going to do an old school one on the build of WrestleMania, though. I have a feeling. Hopefully. I bet you they'll do an old school one in March.
I hope they do. I mean, that was one of the best episodes last year.
Yeah, and I think that with Rock and everything and all these other guys, I think they're due for like a cool Attitude Era Raw like in March. Because I think they'll need the build won't hurt. So that's my opinion. But I
can't believe the whole thing. They're killing each other.
I'd like you on for 3 hours, Art. I think maybe you'd be better than King. Isn't it weird though in this new era that the play by play guy's the heel and the color guy is the face? I didn't realize that till last night. It's very strange.
It really is all fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's fixable until they're done with this whole Cole thing. So. I'm not. Yeah. I'm just done worrying about it, honestly.
But what's weird? Yeah. Well, you know what's weird though. I'm almost getting to the point now where Jerry's even over pushing it now. Like because Cole switches it on and switches it off. On Raw, he does it more than he does on SmackDown. I feel like. But even when when Cole's trying to be like the regular straight down the middle, Jerry pushes him. Like I almost feel like it's overkill now. Now you're.
Well, that's
you're,
the problem though. Like. He should stick with it one way or the other. Like, this whole vacillating back and forth, I think, is not helping things. Mm-hmm. It's like, because you don't know when to take him seriously.
True. I agree. At one point, he said, in all seriousness, like, he had to, like, make a point to say, all right, I'm back to normal guy now. He did that at one point. I think he was pimping something at the table. I don't remember what it was, but.
I mean, the whole idea of the play-by-play guy and the announcer was to convince you to order things and to go to the shows, and they just don't have that guy. There's no one putting over the product, It's just, I don't know. It's just one of those things that's taken a turn for the worse of the old days and has just continued to go tread downhill. And the one guy that, you can trust and say he's the voice of the promotion is Jim Ross, and they have no interest in using him in any kind of capacity. And the other guy would be Joey Styles, and they seem to be fine paying him to run the website. So, and even Josh Matthews is fine, but he doesn't have that credibility yet. No. So, I mean, just think of how strong these shows would be if you had JR and Raw and Styles calling SmackDown. I mean, just think of how strong the commentary could be.
Absolutely. And they put stuff over. You got to start putting the house shows over again. They flash them at the bottom of the screen. Put them over. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you watch those Raws from like 96, 97, when JR used to say, and just let everyone know, coming up this Friday, we'll be in such and such, and Saturday will be such and such.
He would talk about what happened. He'd be like, oh, it was a crazy scene this last Friday in San Jose when Stone Cold and The Undertaker went at it. You know what I mean? Like, it made it seem like it was something important. And hopefully with the network, maybe they'll start, like we said, maybe they'll show some house shows. I think that'd be pretty cool.
I think it would, too.
Just came from the bathroom. Croc. And
You should have smelled what The Rock was cooking.
Maybe one of my two or three favorite Raw moments of all time, that whole piece. I hope you have further of that skit, because it gets even better from there. All right, let's move on to last night, or as obviously we're taping on Wednesday, last night's SmackDown taping in Jacksonville. One night after another boring, dull event happened in Jacksonville. That was the Jaguars getting whacked by the Chargers. Maybe the SmackDown was better. You know why the SmackDown was better? Because it had one of yours and my favorite SmackDown gimmicks of all time. And you know what that is?
Beat the clock.
Beat the clock. Never did it on Raw. Never did it on Raw.
Yeah, they did.
As far as I know.
Before the Chamber, what was it, 05? For the one with when the title was vacant, Triple H, and didn't they do it for that one? And Batista won.
Oh, right before. That's right. Right before. You're right. Right before the first New Year's Revolution. That's right. Oh yeah, the guy with the best time got to go out last, and it was Batista. You're right. That's right. That might be the only time on Raw, though.
I don't know. I'm not going to commit to that.
Maybe I don't know. I feel like it's been on SmackDown more. Edge was always in him. So, anyway, so obviously they had the props around the ring.
Yep. And Lillian Garcia back in the fold.
I am stoked. Yeah. Cannot wait. Love
She's
it.
Taking over SmackDown duties. Tony Chimmel's going to just be working, I think, on the network, they said, doing some TV stuff for that. So
yeah.
He's transitioning off. They got Lillian on SmackDown. Justin Roberts will remain on Raw. Booker T was on his way down. He got attacked by Cody Rhodes. Yep. Cody interrupted and said he'll be the announcer tonight instead. Wade Barrett beat Ezekiel Jackson. Beth and Natalya defeated, guess who? Caitlyn and AJ, once again.
Yeah, like the eighth straight week.
And then Caitlyn finally turned on AJ and joined the pin-up strong team. So they have a little lackey going with them.
I like that, though.
I agree. I still don't get why they have to lose to Kelly Kelly in 14 seconds half the time on Raw, though.
That pisses me off.
They should be not losing at all.
No.
Daniel Bryan interviewed by Josh Matthews. He called out Michael Cole, went over to confront him, but Cody Rhodes stopped Bryan and assaulted him. So you were talking about being excited about this possibly being a feud, right?
I did. I think this, as we continue on, because we'll see a little bit later on in the show, they actually hook up in the ring. I tell you something. It'd be a great holdover feud for, well, not for Cody. Cody's not at the level yet to get holdover feuds, but Daniel Bryan, definitely, because he needs something to do. And I think this is another one of those feuds that can only be good for both guys. It just continues to keep Daniel Bryan sharp. And what better guy to just enhance Cody's in-ring work than a guy who's amazing. So you and I have been talking the last couple weeks about nice holdover feuds.
But to lay that smack down on himself. You hear that? The brother smacks himself down.
I have nothing to say about that because it's just one of the greatest skits of all time. So he gets interviewed. And yeah, I think it's a great idea.
By the way, I've been meaning to correct this for like 3 months. I think when we read the story about TNA going to India and all that stuff with Lagana, yep. And we were all confused because someone posted the thing about Road Dogg, and we thought they fucked up by saying he was with WWF. He is with WWE rather. He's not with TNA. He's a road agent now.
Yeah, he's Road Dogg's back in the house.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised that he hits the camera soon.
Yeah.
So, you keep talking about the click. He was part of like click part two.
You know, I'd be fine if they do this big fucking click war and it keeps Triple H out of the main event scene and have him take up their little segment, him, Nash, Waltman, Road Dogg, whatever. Use them all, have them fight from now through whenever and just, you know, keep them to their own little feud. I think that could work.
Yes. I know. I agree. I don't think Triple H is not going to go for titles anymore anyway. So
yeah, okay.
I don't think we'll have to worry about that. well, come on, have some faith. He takes like 6 months off. He's not going to come back and win the title for like 2 weeks and then leave again. I don't think that's going to happen. If it does, well, then I'm wrong. I'll be happy, but I'll be wrong. Okay, why don't you continue on with the you were on a roll with the recap. Or with the,
yes, the epic feud. It looks like it may already be coming to an end. Ted DiBiase defeated Jinder Mahal.
So is he back below Trent Beretta now in the fucking roster sheet?
I guess so. DiBiase rising the ranks now. I really dig his little happy-go-lucky face stuff, though. It seems like maybe he's finally clicking. Big Show and Mark Henry had a segment. Show ends up attacking Henry, and they go at it. Show grabs a chair and beats the crap out of Henry. So I don't know what's going on. They're almost making Henry to be this like sympathetic guy all of a sudden. Odd. So maybe the face turn is coming. I'm not sure, but
I don't know.
Sheamus beat your boy David Otunga. We have the usual 2012 vignettes. Zack Ryder beat Heath Slater. Cody Rhodes beat Daniel Bryan by disqualification when Booker interfered. And they went ahead and announced for TLC that Booker and Cody would be wrestling for the IC title. So we're finally going to get that match. And Randy Orton defeated Dolph Ziggler with 2 seconds remaining on the clock So it was announced that Orton will face Wade Barrett at TLC, and Orton made it a tables match. So there you go. That is updated. And for the updated full TLC card, we have Punk versus Miz versus Del Rio for the championship. But there's actually a story on WrestleChat that they may be adding Dolph Ziggler to that match. He might be doing double duty again. I also think Cena's going to end up somewhere in this because I can't see them doing a pay-per-view without him. Mark Henry and Big Show for the world title. They haven't announced a stip yet for that, right?
Which one?
Henry and Show.
Henry and Show? No.
I'm guessing it's going to be a chairs match. Because we have the TLC, we have the tables match, Orton and Barrett. We have the ladder match, Triple H and Nash with the sledgehammer hanging. And then a Dolph and Zach for the U.S. title and Booker and Cody for the IC title. So I'm guessing the chair has been playing a pretty big role in this whole Henry show for you anyway. So.
Is it me or is this actually shaping up to be a fairly decent card?
Yeah, it has. Surprisingly enough, I really wasn't expecting much out of it. But it's a lot of rematches, but I like what they're doing with the main event, making it the TLC. You know, Punk and Del Rio's actually been pretty good in the few ladder matches he's had. And Miz always works hard as well. So
yeah, but I mean, even like, you know, Zach's going to be on this show, and you know, who knows where Cena will be floating around, and I think Orton Barrett will be very good. Cody and Book. I mean, just all these matchups are so different. I mean, I wish Daniel Bryan was on it. I'd like to see him on the show at some point. Maybe he'll do something involving the Mark Henry Big Show match. Perhaps we'll see. But I don't know. I'm digging this card. Of course, next week on our headline show, we. JR and I will give you our predictions. So, because there might be a few matches. Although there's already what? Would you say six? Is that what you counted? Six?
You got the three or the two big title matches, the ladder match,
the two secondary titles,
and the tables match. So yeah, six.
Zach and Dolph is confirmed, right? It is.
Yes.
TLC.
Yep. Okay. They added it. So.
So and four title matches.
Yep.
Maybe they'll throw a Beth Phoenix match in there. What the hell, you know? So there you go. There is. There is your SmackDown spoilers. I'd watch it anyway on Sci-Fi Friday night at 8:00.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to know the spoilers; another thing to actually watch it. I've always said that.
Yeah.
I used to not want to, like, during the good years, the Attitude Era '99, 2000. I wouldn't want to read the spoilers, but you know what? It's different to read it. And like, I know you think this is crazy, but I'm actually looking forward to seeing Caitlyn turn on AJ. I don't know why, but seeing it's different than hearing it. You know,
I wonder if AJ will be putting the sharpshooter again for the 15th straight week.
Yeah, and she'll look like a fucking crescent roll. her ankles will be touching her ears. So, all right. Next up, we have a couple of side questions that were emailed to us. One of them was off Facebook. Why don't
two,
you?
We actually have two Facebook ones. We had another one added questions. Late. All right, Mike Wilkinson first. A question for discussion on this next podcast is: all the Cena love for Zack Ryder going to hurt Ryder with all the men hating Cena right now? Cena seems to go overboard with the Ryder stuff. Just wanted to hear your thoughts. Keep up the great work. And I'll read a few comments on here too, because we can mull those. Brian Anderson: I think that'll kill some of the momentum that Ryder had going. It seems to come across as forced to me. It's almost not as underground now or whatever. That being said, I do believe that it's continuing to plant the seeds for a heel turn. Corey Ferreira: I've never been a Ryder fan, but I can see where you're coming from. Ryder had built a nice little following with his YouTube series. I think people liked him because he was an underdog type guy and never got his chance, despite being over with a large portion of the crowd. Since Cena began endorsing him, Cena's taking the whole Ryder thing too far. All he seems to do on Twitter is go on and on about how great Ryder is and how people should follow him. Having endorsement for the top guy should help you, but Cena's hated by so many people following Ryder, he began to get momentum. So in the end, Cena doing this Ryder shit will eventually hurt him in the long run. And Rob Houston: how about when Cena turns heel, he turns on Ryder, we get a pay-per-view match that gives Ryder the title push he needs? Adding to our idea before about how Cena turns on Ryder, you could even have it where Ryder kind of fails at gaining momentum with Cena on his side, and maybe Punk ends up helping him and he ends up winning a title. You know, something like that, where Punk is the guy that kind of gets him over and he starts hanging out with him more, and Cena kind of gets a little jealous, and that's when he really flips out. You could do something like that, too.
Mm. No, I think this is a good... I understand the philosophy. It's actually a good theory about the X-Pac rub that Cena's getting on other guys. I don't think that's the case here, but I understand some people thinking that way, but
I mean, think if you want Ryder to be over and capitalize, at some point it's going to be mainstream. He's not going to be the underground lovable guy for long. I mean, look at Punk. They had to do the same thing to him. He eventually went, you have to go mainstream at some point. So.
Right, exactly. And I think this is only going to help Ryder, and he may become even more sympathetic and become an even bigger babyface star as time moves on. So I understand the theory about the bad rub, but in this case, I think it's going to only help Ryder in the long run. So I don't think it, my personal opinion is I don't think it's that big a deal.
Like a damn road sign.
there he is. You got to bring that guy back. The great Jason sensation. What is our, and we have another Facebook question.
Steve Gross. I'm not sure, you should be Scott Gross. I'm not sure if you've covered this before, but this longest running weekly episodic television show makes me angry. When Doty mentions it, they aren't the longest running, because when you say that to me, longest running would be length of time and not the number of episodes. A show that's currently on, like The Simpsons, has been on for like 20 years. I think it's just semantics. It's like the whole crap with the 25th anniversary. They pretty much make their own history. They do whatever the fuck they want, Steve. It's one of those things that's like, the more you worry about it, the more it's just going to drive you into the circle of logic hell, basically.
Yeah.
Most of the shit they do is just fucked and whacked, so you really just got to take it for what it is and just know that they put the shit out there to help prop themselves up and gain advertising rates or whatever other nonsense they think it's going to do. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, didn't they say a while back that SmackDown's the third longest show episodically? So it's NXT is the greatest internet show ever. I mean, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's been on for a while. Congratulations.
Yeah,
very good. It's like Jerry Seinfeld's old bit about how McDonald's used to do the count, the number of burgers sold on the sign. It's like, we all know you're very successful. Congratulations. You do very well. We don't need to know that you sold, you know, 60 million hamburgers or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we know you're doing very well. So, all right. And a final question from our listeners from Jay Hinchy on their email. Got this off Slam Wrestling, but maybe you could talk about this on the headline show as well. And actually, we can transition with this right into our next topic, which is our usual chat about the... actually, I'm sorry. This is a... Let's do the other email question first.
Yeah.
Oh, that was also Jay Hinchy.
Yeah, Jay Hinchy did both.
Do you think it's time to change the WWE Championship belt? Yes.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt there is. Even John Cena said that enough's enough. You know, except for the Winged Eagle, usually a belt usually has about a 5-year shelf life before you just need to freshen things up. Hogan, over the four-year title reign, went through 3 belts. Of course, he won the green belt when he first won the title, January 1984. Then he went to kind of a belt that looked a lot like the NWA's old school TV title and U.S. title and the national heavyweight, like that typical belt-looking front. Then he went to that weird, you know, that big kind of oblong-looking belt that he wore at WrestleMania 3. And then finally he went to the Winged Eagle in early 88. Now, the Winged Eagle lasted 10 years, essentially, from January of 88 till the night after WrestleMania 14. 10 years. But the Winged Eagle was a very iconic looking belt, you know, and back in those days, in those mid 90s, they didn't pay attention to that kind of crap. They just, you know, it was the belt and that was it. But I always say that when you looked at the belt, when Stone Cold had it on the table in that WrestleMania 14 press conference, the thing looked pretty beat. Mm-hmm. it was pretty wiped out. Pieces were falling off and the leather looked like it was, you know, crapped on and it didn't need a change.
And it goes back to like we talked about over the last couple of weeks, how Cena has been on top now for 6 years. Or 8 years, whatever the hell it is at this point, 7 years. And, I mean, he's already surpassed Hogan's initial run. And just like him being on top for this long, the belt has now been used for this long. And, well, when did he debut that thing? It was like, what, 05, right?
The spinner belt?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was right between...
it was before Judgment Day, right?
Yeah, he had it at Judgment Day. They had the old belt, what they call the Brock belt, because JBL had it when he beat him at 21. So it was between... April and late May.
So this by WrestleMania this year, it's going to be 7 years old, that title already. So, yeah. I mean, this is the longest run pretty much for any world title outside of the Winged Eagle. So just like Cena's been on top for so long, so is this belt. So I think it is a time for a change for both things. And like I told you today when we talked on the phone in our little pre-production, they could have easily still market this spinner belt. Just because he doesn't use it doesn't mean they can't sell it anymore. So I don't think that needs to play as much of a role as people make it seem.
No, I do the same thing. You're right. I said the same thing, that they don't want to get rid of it because they don't want to, you know, the little 10-year-olds are still buying the cheesy. And the belt that, and obviously we are close to one because at Rotellapalooza, his wonderful cousin got him an actual, you know, a spinner belt, a replica, nice one. And it is a nice looking belt when you're holding it, looking at it. But
Rotellapalooza, more like Rotella the Loser.
Rotella the Loser. Who did Rick Martel come up with that title?
You're a loser.
You're a loser. But now it's just the time. It's time for something fresh. Obviously, they're thinking about it because we in the last couple of years, we've got new tag belts. We brought back the old school Intercontinental title, which just brings a tear to my eye and everyone's, because it is probably, in terms of just the way it looks, probably the greatest belt ever. Next to the Winged Eagle, I know you've saw, and I have a
Winged Eagle, number one.
Nah, see, I in terms of world title belts, I still love the Attitude Globe. That's one of my favorites. But I do have the I don't know, the Winged Eagle just always looked too small. I know it wasn't. It just always looked too small for a world title belt. If it was a really big, if it was bigger, like the big gold belt size, I think it'd be pretty cool. That was my only.
What the hell am I? A school crossing?
They got to bring that guy back. Maybe they'll bring him back now if X-Pac and all these guys are coming back. They'll bring him back. Maybe he'll look like Billy Gunn. That'd be pretty funny. That would be pretty cool, though. Imagine Road Dogg comes back. He gets on camera and Jason Sensation comes out looking like Billy Gunn.
I don't see that.
Or he'll see Dolph Ziggler. They'll crack a joke. Road Dogg, he'll be like, dude, I didn't know you were back at the company. It'd be pretty funny. But as far as we're as far as we've read, the spinner belt is not going anywhere. So, oh well. Punk just looks weird with it. He just looks weird with it. You know? Just
yeah, I agree.
Looks weird. All right, why don't you go to our second question that the great Jay Hinchy asks, because that leads into our weekly network update.
So to get this off Slam Wrestling, talking about the WWE Network, maybe you guys can include it on the headline show also. Sean Waltman and other past WWE stars are taping long interviews for a Raw retrospective set to air on the new network. And I did read afterwards somewhere else that it's like a 15-part look at the Monday Night Wars. So I don't think it's going to be like it is on demand where they do a weekly show. It looks like it's just going to be like a documentary with different interviews. And I think Waltman's a good guy for them to talk to. He was involved in a lot of it. So I'll be curious to see how they do it, if they're just going to talk about different periods or if it's going to go chronologically, kind of look at like maybe a 2 or 3 month stretch at a time. It'd be kind of cool to see how it goes.
I agree. And the best part is you know, those shows will be going through our building before they even go to air. How about that? It'll be like the... be like Just Joe getting inside information.
Speaking of,
you know, he needs something. The champ Jetpack put down that WWE sent out the following blurb last night on WWE Legends House, a reality show on the new network. The promo video from Raw is also below. Well, it's on the clip. A reality series featuring many of your favorite WWE legends, all forced to live under one roof. See what happens when the most colorful and combustive personalities in WWE history shack up, break bread, and bruise egos. I have an idea, JR. When we get closer to the start of the network, we won't do it now, too far out. I want our wonderful PTB Nation to put together a list, compile a list, maybe send it through the email, or of maybe the eight. How many guys do you think will be on the show? Eight? Probably not more than that.
8 to 10, something like that.
Okay. Bro. I'd like our wonderful PTB Nation to compile a list who they think the guys will be in the house. Because I'm curious to see what people's thoughts are. I already tell you right now, I hate to say it because he is with the company. You know Duggan's going to be in it.
Oh, you know, yeah, definitely.
You know, just to piss me off.
I bet Slaughter's in it.
Slaughter will be in it. The guy, obviously, everybody wants because he's just ridiculously out of his mind is the Iron Sheik. I don't know if he can handle a weekly show without swearing.
I think they're going to be too afraid to have him on, honestly.
He'll go look for B-Brian Blair and beat the shit out of him or whatever. I liked your idea about Brett, though, being the straight guy.
I don't think he'll do it, but it'll be funny.
It'd be pretty funny. So we'll see. But that's an interesting idea. To maybe as we get closer, maybe into March during our WrestleMania build, maybe our wonderful PTB Nation can come up with some guys they think would be good in this on this show. Guys with good personalities.
Bad,
guys that would fit in.
Too bad Hogan's not in good terms. You know all his fucking buddies would be on, the Nasties and Beefcake and everyone.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, you would love that. Come on, you'd love the Beefer in the house. I think every week he could dress as a different guy. One week he'll be Zodiac.
I wouldn't be surprised if, like, fucking Steve Kern, all these guys, Malenko, the guys that are already like, kind of like road agents.
Yeah, that would suck. Because those guys don't have any personality. You need guys that are going to be funny. Those guys aren't funny. Unless they're dressing their characters. I mean, Steve Kern walking around like Skinner. I mean, that'd be pretty funny. But if it's just him as him, nobody cares. Nah, I agree. But that'd be interesting. I'd like to hear what...
It would be cool if they were in character, actually. IRS.
It'd be, you know what would be great? It would be if almost it was like a real action version of like the Rock and Wrestling cartoon.
Yeah.
They'd be even better. Oh, maybe they'll air that. That's a good idea. Maybe they'll dig some of that crap up. That'd be cool. Saturday mornings on the network, re-air the old Rock and Wrestling cartoons.
There's a lot of options. The old WBF super shows.
Why not? Just throw it all on there. Just whatever. You need to appeal. The key thing for this network... You need to appeal to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yes, you need to appeal to kids. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of dumb Cena shows on, and that's fine. You need to appeal to grown-ups, to parents, you know, that you're not gonna want too much, you know, dirty stuff on. But you need to cater to the older fans, not fans like you and I who love everything, but fans who used to watch, like my dad, my brother, and you know, maybe your dad or whatever, who used to watch it and don't anymore, and bring back stuff that maybe they'd be able to put it on and go, oh wow, I kind of remember this show. And I think the Rock and Wrestling cartoon's a perfect idea. Be like, oh, I remember watching this with you when you were 9 or whatever, and you know, they had to be careful, make sure that everybody, it caters to everybody.
Also, we talked about earlier too. It seems like they're wanting to branch out a little bit. I read that they may be looking to bring in covering a pro sports team to get extra viewage and carriage on different networks. And apparently, I've read somewhere that they're planning. They have a pretty aggressive model where they're already like saying they're on like a certain amount of cable networks. I don't know how it's already been done, but. And it seems like they're pretty dead set on doing the non-Big Four pay-per-views on this channel, which I think is a good idea.
That's tremendous.
There was a good piece on Scott Keith's blog today. People talking about how pay-per-view, kind of arguing, is pay-per-view a dead model? Some were saying it's only dead because they've killed it, basically. But that with internet streaming and going to bars and everything else, that pay-per-view is slowly dying, and you might as well have people buy this network, and you'd be better off, you know, just getting the subscription fee and not worrying about these shows doing 150,000 buys or whatever. You know, right. These last few shows have been some of the worst ever. Vengeance, yeah, and Night of Champions and all these, so I haven't been doing very well, but so it'll be interesting. I think it's a good idea if they do that, and then to show the Big Four makes them seem more special, and you're more likely to get people to pay for them. Saying, oh, you know what? It's only these four. Even if you get people to buy two of them, you're in good shape probably. So, right. And then you make the other ones just, yeah, monthly specials that you can build towards. So,
almost like clashes.
The network is either going to make or break them. It's either going to bottom out quickly and end up being another laughing stock and really hurt them. Especially because, and Keith put it the best, once the cat is gone out of the bag, you can't get it back. So once they stop making people pay for those pay-per-views, they're not going to be able to go back to it. So they've really better hope this network works out, because once you start, you know, putting 8 of the 12 shows on TV, you can't go back to charging for all 12 of them. It's just not going to really work that well. So
nope, I agree.
They're going to be sure it's going to work out. So I think it can if they stick with it and know that it's not going to be immediate, that it's going to take time to grow. I mean, look, even NFL Network took 3 or 4 years to really take off. So it's going to take time. They have to be patient with it, which is something they haven't shown a lot of. So we'll see.
Let's put it this way. When we talk about the four major, all four networks have, all four, let me rephrase that, all four North American sports have their own network, MLB, NBA, NHL, and NFL. The first one was NBA, and you and I worked with NBA. They were a fucking disaster in the beginning. They were absolutely unwatchable. They're not bad now.
No,
not bad. I kind of wish they were still in our building, because I worked with them for 2 years. You worked with them. They were a joke. They were easy to work with because I barely watched what they were doing.
Yeah.
They're a lot better now. Obviously, they were run by Turner. So NFL took a long time because they just seemed, first of all, we hated everybody that worked behind the scenes. But the other thing was that just the on-air talent was just a little off. There wasn't a balance.
Well,
there.
The problem is they didn't have the live games, and they relied a lot on NFL Films programming throughout the first year or so. So it was very dry programming, except for at night. And once they started getting the games and doing more live stuff to where they're pretty much live a lot of the day, that's when they really started to turn it around. That's why NBA and NHL and baseball could work, because they could show live games. Like NBA shows a ton of live games. MLB shows really a lot of games.
Oh, yeah.
I think NHL does too. So
yes,
when you can do that, you really, that's when you can grow. And then you can start doing more live pregame, postgame, and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
That's why I think WWE Network could work. Like we said, if they do a pregame for Raw, postgame for Raw, same with SmackDown. If they do, pay-per-view pre and post shows, there's a lot they can do to fill that space.
Exactly. And MLB was the smartest because they waited till last.
Yeah.
And they've launched and they are.
They were pretty much flawless from the start.
Yeah. Undeniably, they got the best on-air talent. Their shows are seamless. And you're right. In everyone else's defense, MLB has the privilege of being able to carry actual live games.
A lot of games.
They do live games at least three nights a week.
Yeah,
I think
definitely
they do,
three nights.
I think
Saturday
it's Wednesday
night.
Yeah. I think Wednesdays, I think they do a game.
No, I think it's Thursday. Night. It's like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, pretty much, I think.
I think so, yeah. I think they do a doubleheader on Saturday. I think they do a noon and a 1 o'clock and a primetime, I think. So if TV people – here's the other thing. WWE's got to get out of the habit of, all right, if you want to be a legitimate TV network, you've got to break the seal and stop only having wrestling people run things. You got to get TV people in there, people who don't care what your product is. They're not marks. They're not mocks. Just go in there and get TV people in there. Particularly whoever created the template for MLB needs to go into WWE, and they'll be fine. Because the way they did it was perfect. So we'll see. We'll see. And actually, their master control facility, their room is being built as we speak, my friend. A wall was blown out. They're taking up two rooms. Their master control room is going to be pretty big.
Wow.
So I have a feeling they have a lot of stuff in there. So, but there, I mean, there's nothing in there. The room's empty. There's garbage bags over the doors. There's a lot of time left. Looks like it is going to be April 1st.
Yeah, seems to be the date I'm seeing everywhere. So
yeah, and it makes sense.
Yep.
Perfect night for it. All right. Why don't we take a quick break? When we come back, we will do our news and notes. And, of course, Asshole of the Week, podcast world's best interactive segment. We'll talk a little Hot Stove, a little NHL, sprinkle some NBA, and, of course, your NFL Week 14 picks. All that and more coming up here on the Place to Be Podcast, Episode 87, your headline show for the week. But first, a moment with our friends from WrestleChat.net. Because...
Can you feel the music? Can you feel the beat? You don't need drugs to move your feet. When the dealer tries to push on you, just tell him what you're gonna do.
I wanna be a Hulkamaniac. I'm fine with my.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ,
Jeff Beck.
That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
And he is all over this site, by the way, the champ there.
Oh, he runs it.
I thought the other guy did. Oh. I guess Eric Gargiulo just kind of piggybacks it. Anyway,
he's like WrestleChat. He's like the Scott Criscolo of Place to Be. Jeff Peck is like me, doing all the hard work, doing all the heavy lifting.
Yeah, sure. You're going to start calling yourself you're going to walk around with your own internet title belt? WrestleChat.net is your home for everything pro wrestling. WWE, TNA, some UFC. They have a great message board. Obviously, their podcast. And if you are on the site, go to the right, see the PTB Gnome, click on it, and you'll go right to us. Your place to be. WrestleChat.net. Your home for everything pro wrestling. Time now for the news and notes. And we're going to fire them off one by one, and we'll give you our thoughts on it. And maybe maybe next week you can, PTB Nation may want to put their own comments on our Facebook page. All right. Number one. We have an update on one of our favorite guys of all time, the health of one former horseman, former co-holder of the tag team titles, and that is Barry Windham.
Former stalker.
Former stalker and widowmaker. Wrestling legend Barry Windham, who suffered a heart attack back in October, is said to be doing much better and out of any imminent danger.
It wasn't just a heart attack. It was like the worst malady, mix of maladies ever
assembled. I know, he like fell, broke something. I mean, it was like crazy.
Broke his neck, punctured his lung, burst spleen. It was like 800 different things happened in that one fall.
But has a ways to go before completely recovering, which I can understand. And as we mentioned, Triple H and WWE are paying for all of his stuff. Although he's working for the company anyway, so I guess I would think he has insurance. But so he'll be in good shape. So we wish you the best, Widowmaker. Bring it back. Number two, the latest on these promos, the from within or whatever it is, vignettes, the It Begins. On Monday's Raw, we saw the third installment of the It Begins video trailers with this week's promo titled Look Within. According to a report on PWInsider.com, insider sources continue to state that the person returning to WWE at the January 2nd edition of Raw from Memphis will indeed be Chris Jericho. Some had speculated that the It Begins videos were leading up to the return of The Undertaker, but the latest on his return is he won't be back until after the Royal Rumble. So,
yeah, and like I said, I talked about this earlier. I think Jericho will come back and make it his goal to fight The Undertaker at WrestleMania. I think that's where they're going to head with that. Originally, I thought he'd be a good choice to win the Rumble and fight Punk, but I'm starting to think Dolph Ziggler deserves a little bit more. So, and I think Jericho would be... I can't think of anyone else, honestly, at this point to fight Undertaker, unless they're going to do Foley. But from what I've seen a few different places, it seems like they may be doing Foley and Miz at Mania, which also makes sense because they don't really have much else for the Miz to do. So,
See, I've been kind of leaning more towards seeing Foley fight Taker. For some reason, I got that. I'd love to see him come out.
I think
it'd
be great, but it didn't seem like they're heading that way. I think they want to use Foley to make Miz help put him over. Now, the other thing I read, or I think someone posted on the blog of Doom, was that Meltzer reported that Orton right now is slated to win the Rumble. So I don't know where that goes to. If they go back to him and Henry, it looks like maybe, and Bryan's out, the odd man out. I'm not sure. Because I think Punk is definitely, I mean, if I were them, I'd be putting him and Ziggler together. They have great chemistry. You know, they'd have a great match and it would elevate Ziggler greatly. So maybe he doesn't win the Rumble. Maybe he wins a chamber or something. And Orton wins the Rumble and goes on to fight Henry. We'll see.
Yeah. And then you still got Daniel Bryan in the mix too. So, number three, we talked about this earlier. Booker T received high marks from his peers after returning to the ring to face Intercontinental Champion Cody Rhodes at weekend WWE live events. The Booker versus Cody feud will continue on WWE TV, and talk is that Booker may be up for another feud after Cody.
That makes sense. I mean, when the guy's motivated, he works well in the ring. He can help put guys over, and he's a big name that can help, you know, help build these guys. Putting Cody over him is a nice win. And the only time where he's really not been that great was that 1 year after his world title reign, when he was kind of going through the motions in 2007. But other than that, when he's trying, you know, he's good in the ring, especially as a face when he can sell and gain sympathy and put heat on the heel. So I think it's a smart idea to use him in this role.
I agree 100%. He looks good. He's in good shape. And, you know, when he's on, he's definitely a guy that gets the pop from the crowd. So number four, Triple H was in charge of Monday's Raw Super Show due to Vince McMahon's absence. The WWE CEO, as well as Kofi Kingston and the Bellas, are in Afghanistan visiting troops. Footage from their triple air during WWE's annual Tribute to the Troops special will be next Tuesday night on USA.
I thought it was on a Saturday on NBC.
The promo they aired on Raw the other night said it's this coming Tuesday on USA. Yeah, I know it is usually. You are right. It is usually Saturdays on NBC.
I thought it was still supposed to be there. So I don't know. Maybe Tuesday's a repeat. No, that wouldn't be this Saturday, would it?
No,
I was thinking maybe Tuesday's a repeat on USA.
Yeah, or maybe it's. I don't know. I could have sworn with the promo that aired on Raw said Tuesday night at 9 on USA. Hmm. That's what I thought I heard. But we'll have to double check that.
Does that story say that, or you were just adding to it?
No, I'm adding to it. I thought I heard him say it. I thought I heard the promo on Raw last night say it's next Tuesday night at 9 on USA.
Yeah, I think you may be right. Hang on, I'm pulling up the website right now. Yeah, next Tuesday at 9 on NBC. Oh, Encore will be Saturday at 9 the following Saturday.
Okay, so the Encore is on NBC. Okay. So there you go. So it's on both. So if you miss it, it's the premiere episode is Tuesday night at 9 on USA, and the repeat will be Saturday night. Does it have a time?
9 o'clock.
Saturday night at 9 on NBC, on the Peacock. So, and right now, Vince's favorite divas are the Bellas. So I read that on.
Too bad you didn't leave him over in Afghanistan.
Yeah, really. Good Lord. Number five. Now we get into my wheelhouse, DVDs.
Maybe you can compare this to the ones on your shelf and we can sit here and fall asleep for a half hour.
Well, you know, I was actually the extra part tonight was I was going to go through all of the Bam Bam Bigelow Coliseum video exclusives and the video game tips for those that maybe are interested.
I don't know what would put PTB Nation to sleep faster. You reading your DVD collection or Matt Rotella speaking on anything?
No, I will no longer do that. I promise. So far, the only confirmed WWE DVDs for 2012 are Raw SmackDown Best of 2011 and a DVD on The Rock. According to a site that I trust extensively, which is WWEDVDnews.com, great site, rumored releases include features on CM Punk, kind of the way they did the Orton DVD, Triple H, and Edge, because Edge needs a documentary.
Yeah, he needs a final. His will be like Austin, where a lot of the matches are already on that other set, but he needs a complete four-disc piece.
Yep, and Triple H probably does as well. Although a lot of the matches are on the King of Kings. I don't know what else they can add on there. As well as another chapter two of their greatest rivalry set. And this is the one that they were originally going to do first, which was The Rock and Stone Cold. But you and I, you mentioned this, I think, a few episodes ago. As much as that one will be a lot of fun, because it'll bring us back to the awesome Attitude Era, it's not going to have that same kind of sizzle because these guys actually like each other.
Right, yeah. It's almost going to be more in storyline where they talk about that as opposed to having that legit backstage heat and these guys who have hated each other for this long. I honestly think if Bischoff was back in the fold, like a McMahon-Bischoff one would be good or something like that, more so than... I think Austin Rock is good for like a rivalries kayfabe DVD where they don't sit in a room where they just go over their whole rivalry and show their best matches. But to have them sit in the room, to me, that's better when you have something that's a little bit more legitimate.
Yeah, and I mean, it'll be great, and I'm sure the the DVD will be loaded. I mean, as far as I know, they've wrestled what, 6 times I think on pay per view total, counting singles and tags.
Right,
6 times I think. So that'll be a good set, but that's coming out next year. All of my favorite guys, actually my 3 favorite guys, Punk, Edge, and Triple H, will all have DVDs mm-hmm. out. Obviously, Flair is already covered. Let's see, what else do I have over here? No, I'm just kidding. All right, next up. No, I had to do that. All right, next up, number 6. WWE brought Lillian Garcia back to the organization to permanently replace Tony Chimmel, we talked about this earlier, as the ring announcer for weekly SmackDown tapings. Chimmel is 50. He doesn't look that old.
He's been around for a long time. He's been around since like the early 90s.
He was definitely around during right before the Attitude Era. Yeah. I remember him on Raws in 97.
Yeah.
But he doesn't look that old.
But he didn't do announcing. He was like a ringside attendant for a while. Like he would be like one of the guys collecting like Razor Ramon's gold and shit like that. Like you'd always see him doing that kind of stuff.
He will continue to work for WWE at television tapings in the production office backstage. And as you mentioned, I'm sure he's probably going to do stuff for the network. Yeah. Company officials asked Garcia late last week if she wanted to return, and a deal was reached Monday upon her arrival in Tampa, Florida. Lillian, who turns 45 in August, and wow. I've seen her up close. I saw her 3 years ago at the Wizard World Comic Con in New York, and she's beautiful.
I definitely would not have thought she was 45.
No, me neither. She's gorgeous.
Well, then again, you don't look 65, so.
Well, exactly. Well, that's the dye. I'm using Kevin Nash's dye on his goatee. She retired from her job as Raw ring announcer in 2009, citing a wish. Wait a minute. Just because it's your birthday, you're like doubling the Derek LaRue old jokes. What, did he email you these today as a birthday gift?
Yes, obviously.
Yeah. Citing a wish to settle down with her husband and being burned out from WWE's strenuous travel schedule. Then she also wanted to start a music career, too. She also hosted AfterBuzzTV.com's post shows for Raw and Tough Enough. I didn't even know that. So she's kind of dipped her toe in the mm-hmm. – she kept it in the wrestling world anyway. So, but I'm glad to see Lillian back. She's awesome. Look, that's another reason why I want to watch Friday Night on SmackDown. I'm sure she'll get a good pop too. So, okay. Number 7. This is creeping me out. I don't even know if I want to watch this or not. This kind of gives me the – I don't know about this.
This will be a premiere on the WWE Network.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah, no kidding. Jim Ross says he has no interest in seeing the final days of Chris Benoit retold in a new big-screen biographical thriller entitled Crossface. I don't even like where this is going. When asked for comment on the upcoming movie, he tweeted, "No thoughts, no interest, too sad." He added, quote, "I was asked my opinion regarding potential Benoit movie. I gave my opinion, did man up. Have no interest in reliving the tragedy. I lost 3 friends." SRG Films announced Saturday. Well, I guess Daniel, his son, I would think. Produce a film based on the life of the deceased former wrestler, which will be adapted from Matthew Randazzo's book, Ring of Hell, The Story of Chris Benoit and the Fall of the Pro Wrestling Industry. Production is tentatively scheduled to begin in the fall of 2012. I don't know about you, but I don't think I can handle this.
I'd probably see it just because of what it is, but yeah, I'm not really looking forward to it. I read the book. It had its facts here and there off, as most wrestling books do that aren't written by a specific guy, but
right.
You know, it is what it is. I don't think we need to delve into the Benoit story.
No, not at all. You know, on a lighter note, number 8, this is right up your alley. This has to be you. This isn't him. You created a new account, didn't you? You had to have been. WWE Hall of Famer Dusty Rhodes is on Twitter.
America.
Let me tell you something here, Scott Criscolo. I joined the Twitter so I could come in here and call you out, brother. I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to talk about Starrcade 1997 with Hulk Hogan taking on Sting. I'm going to digress a little bit. I'm going to do one tweet, and I'm going to do a subtweet. I'm going to talk about my son and both of my sons, really, Cody and Dustin Rhodes, the Gold Dust, going in there against Bobby the Stain Heenan. I'm going to go in there and talk about all the clevering and all the plundering. So be looking for me on Twitter, Dustin Rhodes. Check me out.
You know what, Dust? It is Christmas. So you know what that means.
I get my polka dots.
And you have to tweet to everyone the story of Tugboat. It is Christmas time, Dust. You know that. You know who's going to be waiting for you at home.
I remember back in 1990. I really don't want to get into it, though, Scott.
All right, that's okay. All right. There you go. Anyway, it is at Dusty WWE. The account has been confirmed by actually one of his sons, Goldust.
Not Bobby?
No, not Bobby.
Or Jason?
Or Jason. No, certainly not Jason. I don't want to read any of Jason's tweets. Okay. And finally, our final news note of the evening. There is talk that top FCW talents, Dean Ambrose, who's Jon Moxley, and Seth Rollins, who is the incredibly talented Tyler Black, may go on the road with WWE this month to get a look from producers. The two have had a much talked about series of matches at FCW since Ambrose was signed earlier this year. I'm looking forward. Now, there's something that they could definitely use for the network. Definitely doing some FCW shows.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question. Definitely need to do that. I've seen Tyler Black, unbelievable wrestler. Tremendous. Nice kid. Nice kid, too. I don't know who this Dean Ambrose is, but I know who he is, but I've never seen him. So, well, good. More young studs to bring up and keep things going. So, because I tell you something, if you've watched the NXT Redemption show, some of these guys I'm not totally crazy about. They're putting a lot of faith in this Derek Bateman, who looks like Seth, who looks like Andy Samberg, and he's okay. I love Johnny Curtis. What do you think of Johnny Curtis?
I don't really have much to
say. Oh, okay. I don't know if you've watched a lot of his stuff, but he actually I've enjoyed him. I mean, I got a good look at him when Matt and I went to the SmackDown taping in Bridgeport. Go to WWE.com, everyone, on PTB Nation.
I know our buddy Aaron Stevens is on his way back up.
Yes, good. Well, we just wrote about a match with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we watched one, yeah.
We watched one when we were doing our reviews.
Not that one. I meant the we were watching his old matches from the Assumption College show.
Oh, that's right. Oh, which one was he? Oh, he came out as himself. That's right. Okay.
He fought was him and the boss? No, Boston Brawler fought the other guy, the student guy.
Didn't Aaron Stevens fight? He fought what's his name? Ruiz, right? Or Ortiz?
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
Yeah. Who were those announcers again? I don't remember.
Two guys. Well, one vagabond and another top of the line guy.
Top of the line. I figured as much.
A plus.
Yes. You predicted all the moves.
That's right. Perfect. I knew everything that was coming.
All right. So there's our news and notes brought to you by our good friends at WrestleChat.net. All right. And again, please go to the Facebook page and comment on what you've heard, and you know, enhance the conversation. We'll talk about them. We'll talk more about them next week. But now it is time for everyone's favorite interactive segment.
What kind of disgusting, despicable?
He's an asshole.
Who the fuck is this asshole?
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes.
Do you know who I am?
At grade A, genuine, authentic. Asshole.
Hey there, PTB Nation. It is now time for the greatest segment in podcast history. You know what I'm talking about. It is time now for the PTB's Asshole of the Week.
You're an asshole tonight.
All right. Our defending champion is...
Someone's supposed to be keeping track of this shit.
Yeah, come
on. Greenhouse made the nice graphic, but you're supposed to keep updating it week after week. You can't
have to add
to it.
I believe last week was it's too far down. I have to find. I believe it was in Sandusky. We did that a while ago.
No.
Was it the Red Sox? Bobby Valentine? No.
No.
Oh, it was the Union. Wasn't it the whole NBA?
No, because they had resolved things.
Oh, they had resolved it. So
it wasn't creative again, was it? No. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
We'll have to look that
up. Oh, was it? It was a Nagamakansu.
Yeah, Tamakansu. Oh, did you hear about that? He should be. I wonder if they mentioned he did another asshole thing. He got into a car accident.
Yeah.
With somebody, and now he's lying about what happened.
Yeah. Classic.
Yeah. Really. Okay. We'll start. I know you said there's two threads. We'll start with the bottom one.
Yeah.
Corey Ferreira, who's trying to get his Dwight Howard jersey already. Twitter in general, for me, people on there really piss me off with some of the shit they tweet. Also, the New York Giants, for almost giving the Packers, lost one of the season. Okay.
Matt Davis, the second grade teacher who got rightfully disciplined for telling her students that Santa doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's a douchebag. That's like when my seventh grade teacher told all of us that wrestling was fake.
God, that must have been a long... Was she like talking about Hackenschmidt and Gotch being fake?
Really. They had the, you know, Gorgeous George's robe, and I think she was jealous of his
blonde
hair.
You know, wrestling doesn't really go 3 hours into a Tyler Lewis draw, you know.
Mike Wilkinson, I'm going to say Manny Ramirez. So what if you stayed out of baseball last year? You should still have a 100-game suspension. Stop breaking the rules and thinking you are above the game.
Jason Greenhouse, this one seems dedicated just for you. Jose Reyes for taking his talents to South Beach.
Ah, to hell with him. He'll pull a hamstring in May. Whatever. I'm done. I'm done with him. The master of the apostrophe, J. Arsenio D'Amato. Nobody behaved too badly this week, so it looks like my vote goes to that Argentinian piece of shit, El Gigante.
Mr. D'Amato, you called me out on the page. I was sleeping peacefully under my Christmas tree with my furry man suit on tonight, and I woke up when I heard you calling my name, and I want to wish a friend my birthday to Justin Rosero. A happy day of the birth.
I can't believe this. Oh, you know what? You know what, El Gigante? I've heard that secretly, J. Arsenio D'Amato is 10% Finnish.
Is he really?
I believe.
He's
I
from
believe,
Finland.
I believe he does have a Ludwig Borga poster on his wall. Well, so he's calling you out.
This is the anniversary of when the Finns attacked the Argentinians on the Pearl Necklace Day.
Yes, that's indeed.
In 1973, they stormed the shores of Argentina and yep. And caused pearl necklaces on all our women. And J. Arsenio D'Amato's, if your ancestors was part of that, then I got nothing to say to you. You are the assholes of the weeks.
Jay Hinchy, by the way, a little bit further down says, El Gigante rules, by the way.
Jay Hinchy's a man of class and peace. Jay Hinchy and I are friends, unlike D-Bag, LaRouche, and Matt Rotellas, the two assholes.
Yes. You know what I found, El Gigante, earlier this week? I sent a picture to JR. A wonderfully nice Justin Bieber bag that you can buy at the Matt Rotellas bathhouse.
I possibly already own that. I'm not going to lie. Scott Criscola, I heard that you once wore green pants and a pink belt. Is that true?
Yes, while the song you were playing, well, there was Billy Ocean going in the background, exactly.
Billy Ocean's, I don't like the Billy Ocean. I prefer the George Michaels.
Okay. Anyway.
Goodbye.
Plus, you're quite right. Thank you, El Gigante. Okay. Wow. Can you believe... can you believe J. Arsenio D'Amato, the master of the apostrophe?
Oh, you fucking Gigante stormed up from the Christmas tree and almost knocked me over here.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Jay Hinchy, incidentally, says El Gigante rules, and he does.
Yeah,
Jay Hinchy, the BCS, I might have to jump on this as well. The BCS for putting Alabama into the title game with LSU. Oklahoma State, a few other teams got screwed over again. Could we please have a playoff? Yeah, that could take...
Yeah, if there was ever a year that they should at least have the top four teams in a playoff, this would have been tremendous. I think Alabama's a deserving team, but not as deserving as Oklahoma State. There's just no level are they deserve it. When you look at all the stats and the strength of schedule and everything else, Oklahoma State definitely deserves to be in that game.
No, and think about it. Their one loss came one day after their fucking women's basketball coach died.
Yeah.
You know, and the second major crash in 12, the second major plane crash in 11 years for that university. They had a crash in 2000, too.
Yep.
I think it was men's basketball at the time. And one day later, they got to fly to Ames, Iowa to
and
play
they played
Iowa
a tough
State.
Game, right? They lost in overtime, wasn't it?
They lost double overtime,
yeah.
37.
So, I mean, you know, Alabama, yeah, they played LSU great, but they still finished second in that conference. And as great as the conference is, I just don't see it. But you know what? They could have solved all this and not had any issue if they just had a four-team playoff.
Yep, I agree. Call it the plus one. One versus three, one plays four, two plays three, and the winners play in the last game.
Yep.
Simple fact. Steve Gross. There he is again for Burt Reynolds. For Triple H and Creative, what's the deal with this Triple H Nash angle? This could be a hot feud, but we haven't seen Hunter in like forever, and the match is in 2 weeks. They have really dropped the ball here. They are assholes.
Well, I think I'm kind of fine with the idea of Triple H having been off for a while, but I think they should have held the match to the Rumble at this point since he hasn't been on at all.
Mm. True.
Matty Mars. I was talking to Steve about the Nash Triple H angle. I agree with him. They should just wait until the Rumble and really have this build a little more, and he agrees with me, I guess. I hope Triple H cuts a promo this week at least. On a side note, I'm going to nominate Scott for commenting on Justin's sound clips every time he plays them. You don't need to comment every time. They're funny enough. Ha! Still love the show, though. Keep it up. I love when Scott gets really heated about a topic. Good stuff.
So I'm supposed to ignore them?
No. I think you're an asshole anyway, so I agree.
Well, that's why I'm on the show. Duh. That's the prerequisite. If this was nice guys, who the hell would listen?
By the way, if you guys haven't gone on the Facebook page, you got to check out Jason Greenhouse's birthday gift to me. It was a tremendous picture he made.
I got to put that on as my profile picture. All right, let's. All right. We got what? Two more, a couple more further up the screen. Matt Davis, Brett Favre for saying he would come out of retirement if a team called him when no one wants him. Any which way he can stay in the headlines.
And Derek LaRue agrees. I second Matt Davis. Brett Favre is a moron for even thinking about coming out of retirement.
Yeah, he was being talked about with the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Some good nominees. Tough, though. Everybody seems easily asshole-ish.
I think I'm with the BCS. I think the whole system's fucked. You know, I don't blame Jose Reyes for leaving. He took the money. A guy with him was so injury-prone, he should take the money when he can get it. Yep. Manny, that's more of a baseball issue to me. They should keep him doing 100-game suspensions. It's not really his fault. I mean, he's not going to say, oh, yeah, keep the 100.
The Santa lady doing the Santa thing is kind of bullshit too. I'm gonna go with the BCS. I think that's pretty egregious what they've done.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the BCS as well. LSU earned it. They're undefeated. They won the SEC championship. But I mean, Oklahoma State beat the shit out of Oklahoma in the Bedlam game. I mean, they whipped them like dogs. And they deserve a shot. Alabama, you know what? You had a chance to win that game back in November in at home.
Yeah, that was basically the championship shot, you know?
Yeah. They missed four field goals in that game. Yeah. Four field goals. No excuse. And Nick Saban's a douche. Yeah. He voted Oklahoma State fourth.
Yeah.
Why do they even have votes?
Yeah, that's stupid.
You know, it's bullshit. So this week's PTB Nation Asshole of the Week is the BCS.
Yep.
Because it sucks. So there you go. Speaking of, we'll stick with college football since we're on our little sports segment now. Notre Dame is going to the Capital One Bowl, I believe.
Exciting.
They're playing Florida State.
That's all your department. I can't get into the bowl stuff. To me, no playoff, no nothing else. I can't.
Yeah, and a great season, by the way, by my University of New Haven Chargers. Their season ended on Saturday with a 27-7 loss in the quarterfinals of the D2 tournament to a tournament, by the way, to Winston-Salem State down in North Carolina. They finished 11-2.
Oh, they had a good run.
They had a great run. Third year back, and next year hopefully they'll be even better. So, hey, you know what? You know the other thing about this whole thing pisses me off? You know, you and I went to D2 schools. So my opinion is, why is it that 1AA, D2, and D3 can do playoffs and D1 can't? What, are we lesser students? Because, you know, because the old excuse used to be, well, we can't have them out of class so long. Oh, so we're all a bunch of morons that we can be out of class. It doesn't really matter to us. 1AA, D2, and D3 have done playoffs for years, decades. But D1 can't because the kids can't be out of school that long. Please, half of them don't even go to class anyway. I don't want to hear that shit. It's ridiculous. BCS, Asshole of the Week. D1 football in general. And look, no one's a bigger college football fan than I am. I just love watching the games. But the politics and the structure of it is just ass backwards. All right.
Let's do the NHL. Why don't you run through that thing?
Yeah,
first.
We'll go through the NHL. All right. So here's the new thing the NHL is doing now. The NHL has decided starting next season, mostly because of teams moving and that kind of stuff. It's a lot of logistic issues with traveling and that kind of thing. So starting next season, they're going to have four divisions, otherwise known as conferences. They don't have names for these conferences yet. They'll probably come up with four legendary NHL players or commissioners or whatever. Maybe they'll bring back the Wales Conference and the Campbell Conference, maybe.
That'd be pretty cool.
Be old school. All right. So going from West Coast to East Coast, here's what it is. Each division has eight teams. Oh, no, one has seven. I'm sorry. Two of them have eight. Two of them have seven.
Yeah.
Conference A will have the Anaheim Ducks, the Calgary Flames,
Colorado. Mr. Ducksworth.
That's right. The Colorado. You're not going to play Adam's DuckTales thing, are you?
No.
Oh, God, I hope not. The Colorado Avalanche, the Edmonton Oilers, the Los Angeles Kings, the Phoenix Coyotes, the San Jose Sharks, and the Vancouver Canucks. That's perfect. Not a lot of far traveling. They'll play each other a lot. They won't have to move around very much. Conference B is the Chicago Blackhawks, the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Dallas Stars, the Detroit Red Wings, the Minnesota Wild, the Nashville Predators, the St. Louis Blues, and the Winnipeg Jets. That's a bitchin' conference right there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talent in that conference. Conference C, and this is my favorite because our team is in it. Listen to this. Look at this conference. The Boston Bruins, the Buffalo Sabres, the Florida Panthers, the Montreal Canadiens, the Ottawa Senators, the Tampa Bay Lightning, and the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's horrible. The Bruins could mop up that.
Well, I mean, it's good they have them in Montreal together.
Yeah, of course. And finally, and this will be the black and blue beat the shit out of everybody. This is like the ECW conference. The Carolina Hurricanes, the New Jersey Devils, the New York Islanders, the New York Rangers, the Philadelphia Flyers, the Pittsburgh Penguins, and the Washington Capitals. Seven teams are just going to pummel each other to death all season long because that's just how all seven of them play hockey. So that's what's going to happen. And the top four, I'm not a big fan of this, though. The top four in each conference make it. I think it should just be the top eight, period. I don't think you should section them off. Just do the top eight because What if Minnesota finishes fifth in the Conference B with 95 points?
Right.
It doesn't make it, but Edmonton finishes fourth in Conference A with 91 points. See, that's not right. They need to work on that. It just should be the top eight, period. And if that's the case, I guess you could just do two conferences and just do a long thing. So
I mean, basically do the same thing. I mean, I think they're gonna have a lot of the division, you know, in conference play with each other too. So I think it'll equal out. I mean, you're probably most years gonna get the top four in each will be the best, you know.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have to see it play out the first year. Quick hot stove note.
Well, no, you're missing the best part, though.
Well, the best part of the
realignment is that in the playoffs, they're going to do by conference the first two rounds, but then in the third round, they're going to reseed. So
yes, oh yeah, they did.
The East can play the East in the or however it's going to be in the finals if they're the two best teams. So say the Bruins finish number one overall, and the Canadiens are the second best team in the league. And they both advance to the final four against, say, like a 5 seed and an 8 seed or whatever. They reseed them, and it could end up that the Bruins would play the Canadiens for the Stanley Cup. So that's pretty awesome.
Oh, that'd be tremendous. Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah, so now any two teams can play. It doesn't matter what conference you're in. And you got to give the NHL credit. You know, they're not afraid to change. They're not afraid to make radical decisions to improve the product. And that's something I think the NBA especially could take a lesson from.
Yeah, I agree. The only thing left for me that would make this perfect and would make the league perfect again is to put a team in Quebec, bring back the Nordiques, and obviously...
Well, that's rumored to put the team in Quebec City now. I was actually talking to our friend Mike if they should move teams or, you know, with the 8-8-7-7, they probably could just expand, put one in Quebec City, and it'd be awesome if they put... they're saying a second team in Toronto maybe, but of course Hartford would be the dream. I don't think that's ever going to happen, but...
I'd love to bring back the Whale. That'd be tremendous. Play back.
Anyone looking for any birthday gifts to get me and send me? There's some great Hartford Whalers stuff out there from Mitchell and Ness that I love. So feel free to order me something.
Ah, well, I'm glad you said that. Yes. You know what? Even though I grew up a Bruin fan, and as a kid goofing with them, I used to call them the Hartford Failures. It was just nice to have a team here. And I love I've always been a fan of the colors.
You know, Mike said they wouldn't. He didn't think they'd draw, but I think they would because there's nothing else in that area. And,
they drew like crazy.
Yeah, I think they'd be fine. I mean, look, UConn women's basketball draws like a major sport there, so I think they're so thirsty for any sports. I think the Whalers, especially now with hockey being reignited, especially in this area with the Bruins being so good and the Rangers turning things around and being pretty good. If you put a team in between them in the East, I think that'd be pretty cool.
Oh, no, I agree, 100%. And the only difference here is I think they'd need to build a new building. I don't think they could go at the Civic Center anymore. The place is a dump. The mall is a dump. They need to start from scratch and build a nice – you know, there's plenty of space in that property near where Rentschler Field is, which is where the UConn football team plays. It's all endless airplane hangar space and trees. They could put a 18,000 or 17,000-seat place over there. They just got to do it. All right, let's do quick pop.
I figure we could do a little music for this.
Obviously, the hot team so far this offseason has been the Miami Marlins.
Yes.
Signing Jose Reyes. Today they signed Mark Burley.
Big deal. 4 for 58. That's kind of surprising.
Yeah, it's a lot. But they have officially backed off of Albert Pujols.
Well, no, I think Pujols backed off of them. I think they told them, you're out. I don't think they pulled out of it.
Oh, okay. Right now, the Cardinals are rumored, now this isn't confirmed, are rumored to have offered 10 years, $220 million.
I saw that was false and that it was only 9 years, so I don't know. But it seems like the Angels and Cubs are the other two teams still kind of in the mix for Pujols. CJ Wilson, they're saying right now, the latest update is that his decision is expected soon. They're figuring he's going to sign with the Angels for 5 years. The Marlins actually offered him 6, but it seems like he wants to pitch at home in California, so... the extra year looks like it may not be enough to get it done. The team that's kind of getting hosed of all this seems to be the Nationals. They wanted all these guys, and no one's even sniffing them. The Marlins kind of stole their thunder. My dream, along with my North Turner dream, right now is that the Nationals get shut out of everyone in panic and make a trade for AJ Burnett. But we'll see. Prince Fielder looks like the Marlins may be heavy in him now after missing out on Pujols. The Mariners are also hot for him as well. Your Mets made a few moves, nothing significant, but pretty good pieces. They solidified the bullpen a little bit with some pickups as well, swapped center fielders.
Angel Pagan was a bum. I was getting tired of him throwing to the wrong base.
Yeah.
He blows signs at third. He goes to runs when he's not supposed to. He kind of reminds me of Bernie Williams' first 2 years in the league before Don Mattingly kind of got his head on straight, who didn't know where he was going, running the wrong way, and all this other. It was just a mess. And I like Frank Francisco if he doesn't act like a complete lunatic. I like the deal with the Giants. John Roush is a solid reliever.
Yeah, I like John Roush. I think they're making the right moves. We talked about this before. The problem is now that division, if Miami's going to be this legit and spending this money and turning this team around, and Washington also with the open first strings, the Mets are going to have a hard time competing in that division, honestly, at this point.
No, they will, and they know it. But it is the 50th year, the 50th anniversary of the history of the franchise. It's going to be a fun year at Citi Field. I feel like the atmosphere is going to be a lot happier, a lot more joyous, even if they're struggling. And then, of course, you know, the other big thing is the walls are being moved in, the fences. So, you know, David Wright may put up great numbers, and then they trade him at the deadline, which is fine. I mean, look.
Well, no, but they're saying that they may be better off to trade him now because the rules are changing with the new CBA, and that I think you don't get a chance for a draft pick if you trade a guy in the middle of the season now, I guess. Oh. Like that.
Well, if they trade him, I'll be sad to see him go, but you know what?
They might as well, because by the time they turn things around, he's going to be done anyway, so he's not staying there. He's not going to resign there, so you might as well trade him now while you're rebuilding.
It'll be sad. I'll miss him because he's one of my favorite guy for the last 5 years, but we'll see. Yankees, nothing on the front at the moment. You guys are kind of flying under the radar right now. Do you even know what you're looking for?
I don't think they have much to do, honestly. I mean, the starting pitching can be a concern if things don't work out, but I mean, they're bringing back a team that won 95 games and really was just a couple of clutch hits from going to the ALCS, so I don't think they have a lot, and now you're swapping in Montero for Posada. I'm pretty comfortable. There are talks of them linking Gio Gonzalez, but the price for him right now is pretty high.
Right.
Billy Beane wanted all their top prospects, but I don't think Gio Gonzalez is worth it. What could be interesting is the Phillies are looking at Gio Gonzalez, planning on bringing him in with the plan that they're going to let Cole Hamels walk, or figuring they're not going to be able to afford to keep him, or they may trade him. Now, that's a guy I'd like the Yankees to get if they could, so we'll see. And then, of course, the Yankees are linked to John Danks as well, but I think Kenny Williams eventually will cave because it seems like he wants to sell and rebuild there, so... Oh, we'll see. David Ortiz, of course, accepted arbitration with the Red Sox. They're trying to ink a multi-year deal. I was talking to our friend Josh tonight at dinner about the Red Sox, and that either way you look at things, they've downgraded. Because Terry Francona to buy Valentine, I don't care what you say as a Mets fan, I think that's a downgrade. And anyone coming off of Jonathan Papelbon that they get to close, whether it be Andrew Bailey, Ryan Matson, or Bard, is a downgrade. So already their team is in two significant places immediately weaker than last year. So, and then, of course, the pitching is yet to also be proven. You know, they're talking about maybe Bard becoming a starter if they sign a closer. So we'll see. Obviously, this is going to be a very, very good team, but I think already weakened in two spots that they're not going to be able to improve, and that's manager and closer.
I've always defended Bobby V.
He's a clown. Even did you see the shit he was saying today? How he hates the Yankees.
I knew you were.
I don't even care that it's the Yankees. It's like, just shut the fuck up. Just manage. You're already gonna kiss up to the media. And you know, if the Yankees offered him a job a year, 2 years ago when Torrey got fired, I didn't hear him saying he hated the Yankees then when he was sniffing around for a job. So
he's
just playing into it. But it's like, you know, they're already skewering him on the Sports Hub today for doing that stuff. And it's like, just shut up and fucking go pay attention to your own team. He's already bringing the circus to Boston. That's what's going to be with this guy. He's a circus. He's a clown.
Well,
I'm sorry.
He flew to the Dominican to sign Poppy to the
oh wow, how fucking thrilling. He also text messaged Carl Crawford, who's the biggest head case on the team right now. That may be someone you want to do more than just text message. You might want to go.
Yeah, he's probably standing on top of the freaking press box ready to jump off into the traffic. So, you know. But anyway, whatever. I just hate that entire team right now. And I'm not saying that. I'm not a Yankee fan. I could care less. I picked those schmucks to go to the World Series last year. So, but my point is they're just a bunch of unlikable assholes. There's not one except for poor Jacoby Ellsbury, who probably belongs somewhere else. Is there anybody likable on that team all of a sudden? They're just all a bunch of douches, except maybe DePedroia is not too bad either, but just everybody's just so unlikable on that team now. Lazy, drinking, chicken eating jerks. That's what they've turned into.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Bobby V wants that. All the power to you. Idiot. Oh, Ben Cherington, he's another one. Poor guy. I don't know whether to like him or dislike him, but
he's already being it's clear already that he has no power.
No, this is Lucchino.
He's already a puppet.
Yeah, he's a puppet for Larry and and Henry. So anyway, we'll talk more about that in the spring. All right. It is time now for the final segment of the show, and that is... you probably pulled away enough now where you've got it probably wrapped up, because I know I picked...
Still up five.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, because I know I picked the Jaguars. See, now if I picked the stupid Chargers, I would have gotten even closer, but I... But the Chargers suck. I hate them anyway. You know, like, yeah, sure, beat up on the crap teams, but it's too late for them anyway. So,
not right. Really. They still got a decent shot at that division.
Well, that division's all over the place anyway. All right, week number 14 of the 2011 NFL season. We've got what 4 weeks left.
Sad.
And the plenty of playoff spots still to be decided. Plenty of everything still to be decided. A lot of fun games. Our Thursday night game is not one of them.
No.
Another nationally televised disaster. On the NFL Network from Heinz Field in Pittsburgh, the Steelers host Cleveland. Maybe they thought this game would have been better, and maybe it would have been better when we were talking about them in the preseason, but this is my lock of the week. I think the Steelers, who need as many wins as possible right now, I think they go out and they clobber the Browns.
I'm not going to make it my lock because I'm going to try and be different from you, but... I agree. They're gonna smack Cleveland on Thursday night. They may not actually run away with it, but I think they'll win comfortably. I'll say that.
Right. Okay. All right. So the Steelers win. We agree with that on Thursday night. All right. Let's go to the Sunday games. We've got 4:09, 1:00, 4:00. We got the obviously the very very important NBC night game, and then of course Monday night, which is another terrible Monday night football game.
Yeah. Well, actually. We'll
maybe
get
not.
To it, but there's more implication than you would think in that game.
Right. All right, we begin. Why don't we get your guys out of the way? We'll go to the Snoopy Bowl, MetLife Stadium in the Meadowlands, where the New York Jets, Jets, coming off a fairly nice win last week over the Redskins, host the Kansas City Chiefs, another game that you really should win. I like the Jets to win this game. I don't know when the offense will open up, but they didn't look bad last week. They looked okay. The Chief defense is playing okay.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I mean, they are a little scary, their defense.
Yeah. But, obviously the offense is, didn't Orton already get hurt?
Yeah, Orton already got hurt. Yep.
Yeah,
Tyler
got hurt.
Falco, I believe, is playing this weekend.
Yeah, he's going to play. So I think the Jet defense, which is, I gotta be honest, it's not looked, and I like a lot of it. And I know what you're going to say. A lot of it has to do with the fact that the offense doesn't give him a chance to breathe, but the defense has gotten a little ragged the last couple weeks. And I think
they've been better the last couple weeks. Before that, they were struggling.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was due to stamina purposes, but I like the Jets to win this game at home.
I agree. I mean, another must-win game, and just like the last couple of years, they get in these positions where they have to win these games, and really to make the playoffs at this point, they have to win out. I mean, they can maybe afford to lose one of the non-conference games, but if they want to get in and feel kind of comfortable about it, they need to win out and hope for some help elsewhere, but... this is a must-win game for them. I really don't see it. I hope they don't lose this game. I'd like to see the offense put together four quarters of solid game. They looked pretty good early, and then Sanchez apparently feels like stealing the Tebow headlines because he's been phenomenal in the fourth quarter the last few weeks, but awful the rest of the game. So they brought Tom Moore in, and he has been helping with the offense. He had been a consultant all year, but the last 2 weeks and for the rest of the season, he's going to be at the practice facility and at the game. So. There's the hit there. And also, apparently Rex Ryan got heavily involved in the offense last week as well. So, things are changing. I still think Schottenheimer's done at the end of the year, unless they run the table and win the Super Bowl or something. I think he's done. So, I like the Jets here, and of course, I really hope they win.
I think they will. Kansas City will give him a game, but if Orton was playing, maybe they'd have a chance to keep up with in terms of...
I just don't think they can score with him. So, I mean, it really depends on the Jets' offense. But, you know, I thought the same thing against Denver. And, they choked that away because they couldn't score. But I honestly think if that Denver game was played on Sunday instead of Thursday, I think they win that game. Because that defense was just completely gassed on that last Tebow drive. You could see it. And,
yeah,
if they have the extra three days rest, I think they win that game, honestly. Okay. I think they got fucked by the schedule on that one.
Okay. All right, we move on to Everbank Field in Jacksonville. Oh, God. The Jacksonville Jaguars getting throttled on Monday night by the Chargers, host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who seem to be throttled weekly now.
They really fell apart.
Yeah, I don't know. Who are you taking? I'll let you go first this time. I have no idea. Tough to pick here.
I'm gonna take Tampa. I think Blount kind of busts out and has a decent game, and I think Tampa's got more explosive than Jacksonville. Jacksonville's defense is pretty good, but Their offense, they just got nothing outside of Jones-Drew. The only positive for them is that Tampa's run defense is pretty bad, so maybe Jones-Drew has a day. And I don't know. I mean, this is kind of a toss-up to me. I think Tampa kind of gets back on the winning track here.
Yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to take the Bucs too. The Jacksonville offense just is going nowhere. Blaine Gabbert just has no weapons. He's doing the best he can with what little he's got. The Jags really got to load up on some skill position guys come the draft time. So I'm going to take the Bucs as well. We head to FedEx Field in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., where the Redskins will host the New England Patriots. You know, I was really laying into Matt Rotella on Monday because, I'm sorry, you know, enough's enough now. I understand that the Pats are scoring points and they got all Gronkowski and all these fucking receivers and shit. But when you give up 30 of 37 for 350 yards to Dan Orlovsky,
yeah,
you've got issues.
I mean, they almost blew that game.
Yeah, they
and
did.
And I know a lot of the guys around here are saying, oh, well, they went vanilla in a game like this, and they weren't really showing everything, and which is a fine theory, but I don't know. I mean, I think there's more to worry about, and I think one of the issues is, yeah, it's nice to have a cupcake schedule going down the stretch and knowing that they pretty much get the division locked up, but it also can hurt them because we saw this happen last year, too, where they kind of cruised into the playoffs, and then they kind of got shell-shocked to the first legit team they played. And this actually happened 2 years in a row. Happened with Baltimore the year before that, too. So, right. You know, it might not be the best thing for them to cruise over these weak teams going into the playoffs, and then all of a sudden the defense has to step up in a big game. So, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, they're my lock of the week here. I don't think there's any way they lose to Washington. But
yeah, I agree. I like the Pats as well. I don't think Washington has the firepower to keep up with them. So I'll take the Pats on the road as well. This is a fascinating game here. Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte we go, where the Carolina Panthers host the Atlanta Falcons. You know,
Atlanta's offense has been atrocious.
Yeah, they've been okay. They haven't been great. Yeah. They've been pretty bad. But their defense is pretty good.
I think they win this game. They
Yeah.
You know, they got the wild card is theirs if they want it, because with Chicago falling apart, the Giants are kind of falling apart. Dallas is, you know, that spot should be theirs for the taking.
Right.
If they want it. So all they're going to do is win a couple of these winnable games and it's theirs. And this is a winnable game. Now, if they blow this game, they could be in a little bit of trouble, but Carolina's defense is really bad. So I think this might be the week Atlanta kind of gets off the schneid and turns things around a little bit. I think Turner will probably have a good day if he's playing and he's healthy. But, I mean, Houston's defense is very good. Like, it's no shame that they went in there and only put up whatever they scored, 13 points. But and their defense is pretty good. I think maybe Cam Newton has a little bit of a slower week than he had last week. So I like Atlanta here to go to Carolina and keep their playoff good feelings rolling.
Yeah, I'll take the Falcons as well. But I'll tell you something. Carolina, I think, might give him a scare. Incidentally, congrats to Cam Newton. He is the NFL record holder now for rushing touchdowns by a quarterback.
Hmm.
Now 13. Incidentally, on a side note, it just popped on one of these tapes, and early 1988, Owen Hart is dressed as the Blue Angel.
Yes.
The pre-Blue Blazer days, facing Barry Horowitz. Just wanted to throw that out there. Next up, we go to M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore, where the current Baltimore team faces the old Baltimore team as the Ravens host the Colts. I feel like just as the Colts may be starting to show a little confidence in themselves, they face a buzzsaw. I like the Ravens at home here. They need the wins. Particularly, they'll know by now that the Steelers probably beat Cleveland.
Yep.
They do have the tiebreaker. They did sweep the season series, but I don't think they want to have to rely on ties or anything. I think they just want to keep pace. So I think the Ravens win at home.
Yeah, I like the Ravens here, too. Ray Rice had a monster game last Sunday. Ran for, what, 205, something like that. So, I think they keep the good times rolling. And they if it was in Indy, I'd say maybe get a little bit of a scare. But Baltimore at home should eat them up pretty easily.
Yes. So we like the Ravens to keep pace with the Steelers. Steelers would have already probably beaten Cleveland. And we both like Baltimore at home over the former Colts in Baltimore. And that is, of course, the Indianapolis Colts, who will stay winless. Next up. I think it's pretty safe to say that Big Tony has coached himself into not getting fired.
maybe
the best team in the league. Not best team in the league, but maybe.
They're playing like it. I can't guarantee you he's not going to get. I guess it would be hard for them to really justify firing him. I mean, unless someone great was out there for them to hire. But yeah. I don't know. We'll have to see. I'm kind of curious what they do at quarterback as well. Matt Moore's played very well.
He has. We're at Sun Life Stadium, where the Dolphins host another laying duck, the Philadelphia Eagles. Guy, I watched them. I watched them on Thursday. Pieces of it against last week against Seattle. They're terrible.
Yeah.
Vince Young is a bum.
Well, Vic is back and Macklin's back this week. So they're going to look a little bit better. But you know, Miami is hot. They're playing with a lot of confidence right now. The defense has been pretty good. And their offense is playing very well. And we'll see how Matt Moore does against a tandem of pretty good corners. But Philly's defense. You know, I think Andy Reid's buddy Juan Castillo is going to be the scapegoat there. They're going to have to fire him or move him back to the offensive line coach and hire a legit defensive coordinator. They tried to get by with it this year. It just didn't work. So I like Miami here at home to stay hot, but I wouldn't be shocked if their run ends here and Philly gets a win.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Dolphins, too. I just like their confidence right now. Everybody's rallying around Tony. They're playing typical team football. If my guys hadn't beaten them Thanksgiving, they'd be in the midst of a 6-game winning streak right now. That's pretty impressive. So, and Philadelphia, I just think right now morale is low, confidence is low. And even though Vic's coming back, broken ribs don't heal overnight. So I'm sure he's probably still a little sore. We'll see what happens. So next up, we head to Ford Field in Detroit, where a team that needs a win, in the absolute worst way, is the Detroit Lions. And they host the Minnesota Vikings, who you were livid on Sunday.
Well, multiple reasons. One, I wanted to come on here and gloat that I picked them to win over Tebow. And two, I really need the Broncos to lose for the Jets. And that was a golden opportunity to gain a game on them. And Minnesota couldn't seal the deal. I don't know why they didn't go for two to go up nine. You know, Tebow's probably going to get the 2-point conversion to tie it at eight. You know, Minnesota played well. Ponder played well. Percy Harvin had a monster game. And Toby Gerhart had a pretty good game. And this, my friend, is my upset pick of the week. Minnesota is going to go into Detroit. They could play it high off of that last week's game. Detroit is hurting. They're sulking. And I think Minnesota goes in there and strikes another nail in their coffin of their playoff chances.
Okay. I am not going to agree with you. I think Detroit will step up. They need the win badly. And I think they'll survive. Christian Ponder played great last week, but I think Matthew Stafford has grown up a lot.
Their team is just a mess. The penalties they do and the stupid plays are so undisciplined, and teams like that are the ones that usually crumble. We saw with the Red Sox and teams like that are weak mentally and just do a lot of stupid errors and mistakes are the ones that can fall apart in a heartbeat. And I think that's what the Lions are. I don't think they have the willpower or the strength to turn things around on that team.
Well, if this game was at the Metrodome, I may take the Vikings. Mm-hmm. But you know what? They're at home. They got a lot of weapons. I'm going to give them a chance to redeem themselves this
week.
Well,
I also think the Lions are going to lose because it's part of my master plan that we're going to get to in a little bit.
Oh, Jesus. Oh boy, are you going to walk out with a velvet robe like Vince? you're going to be the higher power of the NFL.
Master plan, my friend.
Okay. Next up, we go to LP Field in Memphis, where the Tennessee Titans host the New Orleans Saints. I've been going up and down on this. I almost wanted to make this my upset special, but right now the Saints are doing their best to try and keep pace and at least be the number two seed in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take the Saints on the road.
The Saints are going to go into Tennessee and help my Jets by knocking Tennessee down a game, which is much needed. And I think the Saints continue to roll. Like you said, they are playing possibly for that one seed. Right? I mean, they're only one game behind the Niners. I'm sorry, for the two seed, the one game behind the Niners. So, mm-hmm. They're definitely going to keep the pedal to the metal. So they're rolling. Their offense looks phenomenal. And honestly, their offense looks better than Green Bay's the last few weeks. So I think they have a pretty good chance to go in there and take Tennessee apart.
Okay. Next up, we go to the final early game of the day, which is Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati, where the Bengals, who for the first time this year got legitimately whacked, losing to the Steelers, hosting, what are they, on their eighth quarterback now? The Houston Texans.
T.J. Yates, and now they also signed Jeff Garcia. They got rid of Kellen Clemens already.
Yeah.
So they have, what's his name, is their backup? Delhomme is their backup, and now Garcia is their third string.
But they still have Arian Foster. They got Ben Tate.
And Yates looked solid. He didn't play that bad.
Yeah. No, he didn't play bad at all. I like the Texans here. I think they're going to – they need the win a little bit more. I think Andy Dalton's going to finally hit some growing pains. He's allowed to. He's a rookie. I like the Texans on the road.
I'm taking them, too, mainly because I need Cincy to lose, and I think they're going to be hurting off of that game against Pittsburgh, and I think Houston's just going to run and play ball control. And their pass defense is very, very good, so I could see Dalton having some trouble.
Mm. All right, we head to the late games. We'll begin at Sports Authority Field at Mile High, where the Denver Broncos, who suddenly can't win and again, or can't lose, and again, all the Tebow haters can throw things out the window. Broncos host the Chicago Bears, also with quarterback problems. If you're even rumored to be talking to Brett Favre, you know that you're desperate. I have a feeling this will be a really fun football game. I want to pick the Bears, but I just don't see it happening. I think Denver will play a consistent game. Forget Tebow. The defense has been bossed the last like month and a half.
Yep. The defense is what's really kept them in these games, so Tebow could win them in the fourth quarter. So
yeah, I mean, and who would have thunk that everybody laughed at, in late September that when I picked the Broncos to win this division, they may actually pull this thing out of their ass. Who knows? I'm gonna take the Broncos at home.
Yeah, me too. I want to pick Chicago because I need Chicago, but I don't like Caleb Haney going in there into Denver against that defense right now. So if they had Cutler there, obviously, and Forte's out as well, so they're really hurting. And Chicago's in deep danger of actually slipping out of that playoff spot that they seemed to have locked up just a few weeks ago.
Exactly. We go to University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale, where the Arizona Cardinals, who stuck one in my keister this past week, host the San Francisco 49ers. This is my upset special of the week. I think the Cardinals win.
No way.
I think they have. I think they've gained a lot of confidence winning Sunday.
Yeah, okay.
I think the defense looked better than they've looked in weeks, and I need an upset special in the rest of the games on the thing. Don't do anything for me. So I'm going to pull one out of my you know what here, and I'm going to take the Cardinals at home.
No, San Fran is just too tough. Their defense is too good, and they want to keep pace to stay ahead of the Saints, even though they already have the division locked up. They want that bye. They need that bye. So. I don't see a letdown here. They're playing too well. They're too well-disciplined to go into Arizona, and their defense is just too good. I mean, Dallas's defense has nothing on the Niners, and Arizona still only scored, what, 16 points or whatever the hell they scored? So,
yeah,
19, yeah. So, I mean, they're not going to put up 19 even against that Niner D. And I think Cobb will be lucky to get out of this game healthy, to be honest.
Okay. We go to Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego, where the San Diego Chargers, coming off their big win Monday over the Jags, if you can call it big, host the Buffalo Bills, who are just in the, I don't know where they are right now. Two teams that really have bruised fragile egos and fragile psyches. I'm just going to take the Chargers at home. This is a game they should win. The Bills have really just shown that they're just not ready for primetime yet. So I'm going to take the Chargers at home.
I agree. I like the Chargers. I think the Buffalo's in trouble. Losing Fred Jackson was a big blow to them, even though CJ Spiller's been playing pretty well. But they can't stop the run at all. So I think Ryan Matthews has a pretty good game. And I think San Diego wins this. And honestly, they're not done yet. They can win that division at 9-7. Denver needs to start losing for that to happen, but they're not out of it yet.
Okay. All right, we move to Lambeau Field in Green Bay, where the 12-0 now Green Bay Packers, who might have got lucky on a call or two Sunday against the Giants, but did win, host the Oakland Raiders. I don't see that. Nah. No, they may have gotten past their one hump to not go 16-0. I don't see them losing at home to the Raiders.
Well, they're at the Raiders, but yeah, I don't see them.
No, they're at Green. I just said they're at Lambeau Field.
Oh shit! I thought it was in Oakland. I thought that was the 4-15. Oh yeah, definitely Green Bay. They're not losing at home to Oakland.
Yeah, no, it's at Green Bay. Yeah. No, it's at Green Bay. So the Packers win at home. All right, we go to the NBC primetime game, and oof,
big game.
The chirping's already started. Well, it started last week, but the chirping's been going on since last week.
Well, your stupid team could have locked up the division.
Well, don't even start. That was a disaster in its own right. And forget the whole timeouts. Anyway, of course, we're talking about Cowboys Stadium in Arlington, the first of two games in 4 weeks between the Cowboys and the New York Giants. That game Sunday was just I think sometimes Jason Garrett, another goddamn Cowboy coach who overthinks. Tom Landry would never. Not even Jimmy Johnson. I don't even think drunken Barry Switzer would have blown that, even though he did do that fourth down against the Eagles that year.
Well, here's my issue, though. Him calling the timeout, you know, it is what it is, but Arizona was going to call the timeout anyway, they had said. So, to me, that's not really as big of an issue as it is why they didn't call timeout when they got to within, like, the 40 or whatever. They had, like, 40 seconds or 38 seconds left, and instead they ran up to the line, they took their time and spiked the ball with 9 seconds left. They could have had like three more plays to get closer for Bailey. So to me,
no
that's
doubt about
the
it.
Issue more than calling the timeout.
I agree with you 100%. They're just definitely. Why did they do the same thing they did against Miami? Call a couple of plays, had some time, move the ball up, and that was a fucking chip shot that Bailey had against the Dolphins. Yeah. Instead, you make the poor guy kick like a 48-yard field goal and make him wait.
Yeah, I agree.
Stupid. Yeah. And then to make it worse in overtime, DeMarcus Ware could have had a sack on Cobb, missed his ankles. Then this, what is it, this fifth-string tailback, whoever the hell this guy is, missed like seven tackles.
Yeah, Stephen
and,
Cowell.
Whoever this guy is with his five names, and scored the touchdown and won the game for the Cardinals. Ever since the Trinity retired, Emmett, Michael, and Troy, I think the Cowboys are like 1-14 against the fucking Cardinals. I don't understand. It pisses me off to no end. But they still have a one-game lead, and I think they win at home over the Giants. I'm sure Eli's going to find a way to win this game and piss me off, but I Dallas right now is just – I'm sorry. I think they have more talent. OC's not playing. Kenny Phillips is not playing. I think a Giant defense is a little – their psyche's bruised. Eli will probably get his numbers against the Cowboy defense. And I'm sure those Giant receivers will get their catches. But right now the Giant defense is very, very vulnerable. And it wasn't Romo's fault. Tony played a great game Sunday. It wasn't his fault. So he hasn't had that bad December game yet. That game last week doesn't count because he played great. Jason Garrett gacked that one. So I like the Cowboys at home.
Yeah, I like them too here. I think the Giants may be the best team to ever go 0-4 over a four-game stretch ever. But they're playing very well in all these games. But I like Dallas at home here too. I think they're going to split their home and home. But hopefully Dallas locks up the division before we get to that.
That's my you're reading my mind. My goal is when we get to week 17 at the Meadowlands, we already have the division locked up, and that game means nothing. And in between, we've got Tampa Bay and the Eagles. So
we'll see. Two more winnable games, but you know we said that before that they should win.
We said that before, and we always and exactly it's December, so shit only knows. Finally, this is the Monday night game at CenturyLink Field in Seattle. And at first glance, you're like, oh, God. But as much as we're not looking at two powerhouses, this is a very important game. The Seattle Seahawks host the St. Louis Rams. Seattle trying to kind of worm their way into the playoffs somehow. I don't know how they'll do that. But
well, this is my master plan. Seattle, if they win out and get a little bit of help, which can happen because Chicago and Detroit are both kind of flailing right now. Mm-hmm. Seattle's schedule goes as follows. They're home for St. Louis, obviously a very winnable game, because Bradford's probably not even going to play.
Right.
At Chicago, which now is a very winnable game with Forte and Cutler out. Yep. Home for San Fran in a game that could maybe mean nothing, and San Fran could be resting the guys. That's their key game right there, if San Fran kind of goes in there with nothing to play. I don't know if that's possible because New Orleans right on their heels. San Fran's going to need a two-game lead going into that week, so... and then they're at Arizona, another winnable game. So they could get into the playoffs at 9-7, honestly. And that's what I'm kind of pulling for. So that's my master plan right now. I think Seattle's going to sneak into that sixth spot.
All right, we'll see. Should be very interesting. This is a winnable game, and I'm going to take the Seahawks at home. God, I hate giving all this credit to Pete Carroll. I hate his goddamn guts.
He's got them playing, man. You know, if they didn't blow, what was that one? There's one game that they really should have won that they blew a few weeks ago. I can't think of what it was.
Washington.
But... yes, if they win that Washington game, they are actually in pretty good shape right now. But
yeah, they could go 10-6. Yeah,
yeah. But as is, it is what it is. But
it is what it is. So there's your Week 14 picks. My lock is Pittsburgh over Cleveland. My upset is Arizona over San Francisco. Your lock was Patriots at Washington, and your upset Minnesota beats the Lions.
Yep.
So there's your Week 14 picks, and that'll do it for this week's Headlines, Cornucopia, Fun and Games.
Yeah, good stuff. Again, another great show. We hit the wrestling, we hit the hot stove, and all these things we're going to keep you abreast of as we go through the month of December and into Christmas.
A new blood feud has started between El Gigante and J. Arsenio D'Amato.
Hey, he started it, D'Amato.
Called him out.
So thank you, as always, for your comments. As Scott said earlier, hit us up at our email at placetobepodcast@gmail.com. Visit us on our message board, bigelow34.proboards.com, on Facebook at Place to Be Podcast, historyofwwe.com, and their Facebook page as well, and of course on Twitter as well as Place Number 2B Podcast. So for that, I want to thank all of you once again for the tremendous birthday presents and memories and messages, and I appreciate that as I enter my 31st year. I'm closing in on Scott Criscolo. I'm getting there soon. It's another 35 years to go. So with that said, for my PIC Scotty C, I am Justin Rosero. We'll talk to you later this week as we enter 1995 with the Vintage Vault, Royal Rumble 95. So until then, we'll talk to you later.
Peace.